ജയം വിഷുപാദ് പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് കീ ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് കീ അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ടാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമാം ശ്രീപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൻ ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവഹി സിമയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശാ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവഭാവ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത് സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാ വരേരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തൽക്ഷണാ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപ്പത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമഃ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുപേതമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്ജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിഥിദീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തദോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുകുണിതാദ്രദാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേ മധുരിനാ കനികാഭി കാവികാഭി നമാഹോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണേം ശ്രീമൽഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമഃ വന്ദേ നന്ദം വ്രജസ്ത്രീണം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശാം വ്യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമഃ അംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം പദാലയേഷമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാംബുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദ മാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതിയാധിയായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ Yesterday, when we spoke about these elements, you saw that there is a controversy about the number of elements, how many elements exist. And Vedam tells us that, if you listen to this carefully, you will find it interesting. You may think it's a boring topic. It is not. It is not boring. It is interesting. Vedam says, Nivritti is a process, not Pravritti. That means that somehow or the other, to get us interested in spiritual life, this is the Vedic purpose. Purpose of the Vedam is, Vedam says that by birth itself we are ignorant. Ajnanam, avidya is in us. We are ajnanis. Vedam calls us ajnani. Ajnani means we have come to this world in ignorance. We don't know anything, isn't it? Which is clear that we come, we don't know why we have come, where we have come from, what we are going to do here. There's no clue at all. But therefore, ajnanam is in us when we come. And Vedam purpose is that how to get us out of this avidya and take us into the right direction. That is the goal of spiritual life. Spiritual purpose is that for that person. So that is what is called a Nivritti Margam. Nivritti Margam means that to free us from this bondage. We come here and we get bound by so many things, isn't it? So getting us out of this bondage is called a Nivritti Margam. Getting us involved in this and getting more entangled is called a Pravritti Margam. Pravritti means that. Pravritti Margam means getting us more entangled. Nivritti Margam means getting us released from the bondage. So, in principle, that is the purpose of the Vedam. Vedam has been spoken with that goal, that is final conclusion of the Vedam. Through Upanishads, you can see that very specifically talking about it. But, and Vedam also says, there's only Atma, soul, nothing else exists. Everything else is a later figures that's come from different rishis and sages, and this has confused Uddhava. And Uddhava asked the question that why there's so many differences of opinion about the number of the elements, number of the elements in the creation. That is how this chapter started, 22nd chapter started like that, with the number of elements, different rishis saying different numbers. Somebody says, you can see there's a whole list of numbers they have spoken. Somebody is saying it is 28, 26, 25, 7, 9, 6, 4, 11, 17, 16, 13. All this is mentioned there. When Uddhava raised a question, Krishna says, they are all correct, he said. That's how Krishna answered. They are all correct, he said. None of them is wrong. Everyone knows. And Krishna gives the explanation how these different elements have, different numbers have come about. Different numbers have come about. As far as Krishna finally gives his opinion, not now, later on, much later, where in 28th chapter if you look, you will see that there is only one thing, Atma. Parasvabhava karmani, yaprashamsadi, visham ekalmagam pashyan. Even Prakriti and Purusha too doesn't exist. Krishna says, Vishwam Ekalmagam, one. Only one. Vishwam Ekalmagam Pashyan. And that Sankhyam has changed into Prakriti and Purusha. This is the Krishna's number. Krishna's number is one. Krishna is saying, Parasvabhava Karmani. You'll see that. In this chapter, he doesn't say that. It's much later. When you look at the 28. Parasvabhava karmani na prashamsayet na garhayet. Vishwam ekalmagam pashyan. And that ekalmagam one is called by the Sankhyam as prakritya purushena cha. That comes later. But coming back to this, yesterday we were discussing this, that that the Krishna mentions there that the 16 swaram and then sparsham, ushmava, andastam, all that is mentioned there in those verses. A to Au, 16 swaram, and Ka to Ma, 25 sparsham, Sha, Sha, Sa, Ha, the four ushmava, Ya, Ra, Lava, they are andastam. Krishna mentions in one of those verses there. I don't know where that. Yeah, if you look into this, this is the interesting thing. Krishna's first thing, Krishna says, 36, verse 36 in 21st chapter, verse 36. He's saying, Uddhava, Shabda Brahmam Sudurbhodham. In the outset, at the very outset, Krishna says that, the Shabda Brahmam Sudurbhodham, very difficult to understand. Pranam Indriya Manomayam. It is a mixture of pranam, the life air, indriyam, senses, mind, manomayam. Senses, mind and the pranam, all mixed together is this Shabda Brahma. And therefore it is Anandaparam, he says. Anandaparam means it is, you don't know the depth of it, how deep it is. Gambhiram. Amazing it is. Durvigahyam, difficult to fully comprehend. Samudravat, like an ocean. That's how he begins that topic. Then he says, Mayoba Brahmidam Bhumnam Brahmana Ananda Shaktinam Bhudeshu Ghosha Rubena Biseshu Urneva Lakshyate. He gave the example of that spider, how it comes out from the source and it makes a net. Finally, the whole net goes back to the same source where it came from, in the case of a spider and spider's web, that's comparison. Similarly, Krishna is saying here, Urna nabir khridaya, urna udyamade mukhar, akashad khoshavan prano, manasa sparsha rubina. He said like this, that the, exactly like a spider brings it from inside, like a thread, it comes out, isn't it? The spider's web, and comes out, and it spider's presence is shown through that web, through the whole web. Similarly, Krishna called us Hiranyagarbham here. Hiranyagarbham, that is Krishna's name at that time. Hiranyagarbham, and from him comes Nadam. Nadam means spodham, the sound. Sound comes from him. And it is that sound which comes in these different forms Krishna mentions. 16 swaram, 25 sparsham, 4 ushmava, and 4 andastam. He says here, chandomayam amurdamayam sahasra padavim prabhu omkaram. The first paranadam is omkaram, om. From there, vyanjidam, sparsham, swaram, ushmandam, andastha bhushidam. Like that it comes out. Then after that, it turns into languages. After it has come like that. Vichitra bhasha, different kinds of languages, Krishna says. Vichitra bhasha vidadam. And similarly, it came, after this, it becomes into words, padam. Then it turns into sentences, vakyam. And then it becomes chandasa, hymns, Vedic hymns. So that is the way Vedam has manifested. Krishna is saying that. Now, from nadam, it has come like this, and eventually it has become chandasa. Isn't it? Through different letters and everything. Or in other words, you can say, para, pashyandi, madhyama, vaikari. From vaikari, what we have now, you have to go back to para again. To touch the source. So when we chant the holy name, for example, Narayana or Hare Krishna, Mahamantra, all the holy names, Krishna's holy names, any of the holy names, when we chant again and again, what will happen? This is the science behind the chanting process. Krishna is saying that. That it turns into vaikari. If you have to chant for a long period of time, not 1 or 2 days or 10 years or 20 years. After, depends on the chitta shuddhi inside and how serious we are. If it has become very intense chanting, then that sound will turn into our what do they call it, the organ of speech. It turns into, because that is before the vaikari stage. It goes back to the previous stage, madhyama. Para, Pashyandi, Madhyama, Vaikari. Madhyamam stage is that when after chanting, the chanting process takes us into the stage of the Vakindriyam. Vakindriyam means the power of speech. The senses, which is actually, it becomes that senses of speech. In other words, it becomes in a very vague form, it turns into a spandanam, a movement inside. A spandanam, spandanam means a kind of pulse inside. The chanting turns into a kind of pulse inside. And little by little, then it turns into internal pulse, which is the madhyam, pashyandi stage. And finally, it goes into para stage. That is what Krishna is saying here. Biseshu urneva. Remember, he mentioned that. Biseshu urneva lakshyate in the 37th verse. Biseshu urneva lakshyate means that like the thread in the stem of the lotus flower, where you didn't see, Brahma was also searching through the same stem, isn't it? You know that. Brahma went through the stem looking for where it's coming from. In the same way, Krishna is saying here that the like that thread, it becomes a continuous flow. And that stage is called ajabajabam. Ajabajabam means that verbally you are not chanting anymore, but the chanting goes on inside. It is a technology actually. It is a technology of the sound inside what happens. If you chant for a whole lot of very, very long period of time. Chanting process, Shabda Brahma, it's already there in the Vedam. We shouldn't think it's a new invention or anything. It's already been there in the Vedam. Then it says that but there are people who have chanted like that and made it perfect and come back and touch the paranadam inside. So Ajavajavam they call it. That means you are not chanting, but chanting is going on inside. Because it has crossed these stages, which one? The Vaikari to Madhyama, Madhyamam to Pashyandi. Pashyandi stage, it has come. When it comes to Pashyandi stage, the chanting goes on inside. Outside you are not chanting. You are not anymore moving the lips, but you are conscious of the chanting that is going on inside. The holy name. That is the way it happens. So, that shabdam, that sound inside, its original form, from where it originally started everything, that is called spodam. Spodam, it is called. Spodam or dhvani or nada tanu. They say different words for all that things. And when he goes and touches that paranadam inside, deep inside, person who is chanting the japam, who is chanting the holy name, his words goes and touches the Vedam. It goes and touches the Vedam. This is the theory behind it. This is more than that, you can't say anything. It just has to be accepted like that. That when he chanting becomes so good, like you can see, for example, great, great personalities, Tyagaraj Swamiji. Tyagaraj chanted Ramchandra's name. How many times has he chanted? 960 million times he has chanted. It's not accounted, but people have calculated he must have chanted, because that is how, he was not counting every time. But how did they get these figures? Because so many years he's chanted for so many hours. And if you have touched, it is from there that they have found out, if you chant so many times, you will touch the paranadam from there. So, what Shastram is, Krishna is saying here is, that if you have chanted such a long time the holy name, eventually your Vaikari will turn into Madhyama, and in turn to Pashyandi, and then it will go and touch the Paranadam, deep inside. Paranadam, that means you have touched the real Vedam. Vedam, you have touched. So, when they have touched that Paranadam, and when they write bhajans or kirtanam after that, it's all coming from that Paranadam. That is why you can see even today, Tyagaraja, Muthuswami Dikshitan, Shyama Shastri, there were three famous personalities, more or less lived at the same time. The songs they wrote, there's nothing speciality about it. If you look at the words and all that, they are very much, there are people today also who can write similar verses. But what is the difference is that when they have written, that there is life in that song. When somebody sings that song, in the among the musicians, concerts and all that, when they sing those songs, they feel life in that, songs. You can see, Sadashiva Brahmendra wrote a very simple song about chanting Krishna's holy name. And even today, in the famous concerts, first they sing that song, rather than newly composed songs. The reason is this, it's coming from those who have touched the Paranadam. That is the reason. So, what Krishna is saying is that when you touch that Paranadam, whatever they speak after that, in that, some unknown force enters into it. Some unknown force entered into it. It is not in the word, that is. It is entering from outside into their words. Into their words, he enters from outside. And that is what is called ghosham. Remember, Krishna has used that word twice there. In that, he's saying there that what's the verse number? 37, is it? Yeah. 11, 21, 37.
saying mayova brahmhidam bhumnam brahmana ananda shaktinam bhudeshu ghosha rubena. That ghosham. Ghosham is this. Krishna is saying that some unknown power comes into it and joins the sound, joins the words. And it is not in the words, something else that comes and joins that. And that is Krishna. That is Krishna who's joining that. Krishna calls it as an unknown power. Bhudeshu ghosha rupena viseshu urneva lakshade. Viseshu urneva lakshade. Next verse also you look. Yato urna nabir hridayar urna udvamade mukha akashad ghoshavan. Ghosham. It's called ghosham. Ghoshavan prano manasa sparsha rupinam. He says here like that. Manasa sparsha rupinam. So, so that ghosham, and it is the same thing if you look into the 12th chapter. Same thing Krishna says there. But there, in a different situation, Krishna has spoken that about the jiva's birth. Sa yesha jivo vivara prasudi. If you look into the 12th chapter, you will see. Sa yesha jivo vivara prasuti pranena ghoshena guham pravishtaha. Ghoshena pranena ghoshena guham pravishta. Manomayam sushmu vetya rupam matra swaram varnam idi stavishta. It is the same thing Krishna is explaining a little bit more here in this 21st, in this chapter. In this chapter. So, so ghosha rubena, in the form of ghosham, it comes and joins that power. The power comes and joins the word. Yedi alpavithati chindavan bhavadi uktartham shenayeva shrodum ichadi nipunaha. In the commentary also it says like that, that even though those persons, they may not have the highest knowledge, they may not know everything, but in their words, this unusual power will come and stay. So what he's saying is that the sound aspect of Brahmam, Shabda Brahmam, if it is realized, they may not have that complete knowledge, it may not be there. But still, this unusual power, which is called, comes and joins that ghosha rubena, in the form of a ghosha. It comes there, and this will actually make them in a state that even very experts, they will be amazed by the power of their words when they speak. When they speak. You will wonder how that they have got this capacity to speak with such realizations. They have not studied Shastram that well, but they have followed this process of Shruti. That the chanting, any holy name, Krishna's any holy name is capable of delivering this. Any of them. Of course, Mahamantra, Krishna calls us Mahamantra, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But even other names, Ramchandra's name, all of them have the same potency. It depends on the person who is chanting and his purity inside. Sattvagunam, Chitta Shuddhi, Karma Shuddhi, all this is necessary for that. And that means the chanting process appears very simple, isn't it? Appears very simple. But behind that, all this preparation is necessary. Only then you will see that kind of results also. And those who have attained that results, they are showing to us that they didn't study Shastram so well, but they followed the Upasana very well. Sadhana was so good that eventually they gone and touched that Para Nadam, and the result was that unusual power has come and it joined their words. And after that, whatever they have spoken will surprise those who knew them before and who knew that they were not that highly learned, but when they speak, it comes as very highly accomplished words comes from them. That is why this is interesting, this part of the Bhagavatam. That because that power of what they are speaking, this unusual power, that is coming from that silence inside, Mauvanam, what we spoke about yesterday, Mauvanam, the silence of the realization. And that comes in the form of words, Vagrupena, Chandasya Rupena, in the form of Chandasya. And if you want to know Vedam properly, you have to give importance to all these things. Otherwise, you can approach Vedam in a different way. You can say, oh, this is all some letters joined together, alphabets. You can go to Vedam in that way also, without knowing the background of all these things. But you won't understand Vedam that way. That is what Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying that it is not just a combination of so many alphabets, Vedam. Vedam has got this potency packed into it, into the Vedic hymns. That means when you have, through this one process, is Krishna is explaining here, chanting process, for example. You are chanting the holy name and you have chanted so long with such a intensely and with such a dedication. And your karma means all, you are cleared off that stage of karma is shuddhi. Karma shuddhi has happened. Chitta shuddhi has happened. Purification of your vasanas have all gone away. Kartrutva boktrutvam has gone away. Ragadvesham has gone away. After all this has gone away, and if you have chanted the holy name for a long period of time, Krishna says it will turn in like this. First it will come from Vaikari. Vaikari will stop. It will turn into Madhyama. Then Pashyandi. And eventually, at that stage, when it is in the Pashyandi stage, it's called Ajavajabam. Ajavajabam means that you are not chanting externally, but chanting goes on inside. And finally from Pashyandi, it goes and touches Para, the source from where it started. It is at that time this Ghosham comes and joins that. Pranena Ghoshena Idam Pravishta, Krishna says there, isn't it? So when the some unknown power, Krishna says, comes and joins that Pranan at that time, and Krishna mentions that Ghosha Rupena. So twice he mentions in this chapter and earlier in the 12th chapter also. And when that joins, Krishna says, whatever he speaks after that, it because he has touched that source from where originally Paranadam has come, that whatever words he has spoken, it will be pregnant with the highest knowledge, although he has not studied Shastram. That is the importance of this verses. Importance of this. This is the subtlety of this verses. Those who have studied Shabda Shastram, the sound of the Shastram of the Shabdam, sound, and those who have studied Ekadasha Skandam, they have commented on this in that way. That's all I can say about it. So once you know, want to know that the here Krishna is saying here that that power that sound and the topics that is related to those sound, then Chandasa, what the Vedam is referred to as Chandasa, Vedic hymns are called Chandasa. Then Gayatri, Krishna is saying there in the 41st verse, you can see the next verse. Gayatri, Ushnipa, Anushtupa, Brihadi, Pankti, Trishtu, Abja, Jagadi, Ati Chandasa, Atyashti, Ati Jagad, Virat, he says. So, that is based on the number of alphabets, this classification, this changes. Gayatri has 24 letters. Then 4 letters more, Ushnik, Anushtup, 4 more, Brihadi, 4 more, Pankti, 4 more, Trishtup, 4 more, Jagadi, 4 more, Atyashti, 4 more, Adi Jagat, 4 more, and Adi Virad, 4 more. Like this, different chandasa you will find in the Vedic hymns. All these different chandas you will find in the Vedic hymns. Then Krishna is saying, the Vedam, Vedam's message is very, very subtle, Krishna is saying. Extremely subtle, he says here. after saying that, Krishna says, how does he say that? You can look at that verse, you'll see how Krishna says that. Kim vithate, kim achashte, kim anudyam vikalpayet, ityasya hrdayam loge, nanyo mad veda kaschana. He says that to understand Vedam properly is not possible, he said. He says, kim vithate, kim achashte, kim anudya vikalpaye. In other words, that kim vithate means karmakandam, what it is saying, it's very difficult to understand. And upasana kandam, that is kim achashte, that is also difficult to know. Kim anudya vikalpaye. And jnanakandam, what it is saying, all these things, ityasya hrdayam loke na, world does not know. He said, the world cannot know that. Na anyo mad veda kaschana, except me, nobody knows. Krishna is showing Krishna's authority. I am the supreme truth. On the basis Krishna is speaking, that I know that world cannot know that. He's saying, with full authority, Krishna is saying there, Nanyo mad veda kaschana, except me, nobody knows about it. That is Krishna's authority there. So, this is the way it is. And why it is like that? Because, unlike in other religions, Vedam is the greatest authority. Vedam is the greatest authority. Krishna is also saying like this way Krishna puts it. You can see the way Krishna has put it. Krishna says, I understand the Vedam. I understand the Vedam. No, world doesn't understand the Vedam the way I understand the Vedam. In other words, even Krishna is respecting the authority of the Vedam. Do you see that? The way Krishna has spoken? Krishna is saying, Nanyo mad veda kaschana. I understand the Vedam, but the world doesn't understand. In other words, even for me, Vedam is the authority. That is the authority of the Vedam. That is why, remember, we mentioned many times before, all the acharyas will say this also, that if you are, suppose you have, without following the Vedic authority, if you have realized some truth, some aspect of the truth, because people realize at different levels, isn't it? Somebody says through meditation process, or someone who has not come through the Vedic process also can realize the truth. And if somebody has realized the truth, if their realization, if they say that I have seen the light or I have seen the form, it's not acceptable. They have to say that their realizations, whatever they have realized, that should be in conformity with the Vedam. In that case, we can accept that. If their realizations are in conformity with the Vedic Upanishadam, Upanishad's conclusions, then we will accept that. It doesn't matter who it is, wherever it is from the world. But it has to tally with the Upanishad's conclusions. Upanishad's conclusions. That is the principle. So, it is in that process Krishna is saying here, that in the 36th verse he has said, Anandabharyam, Gambhiram and all, Krishna said there, isn't it? Shabda Brahmam, Sudurbhodam, Pranendriyam, Anomayam, Anandabharyam, Gambhiram, Durvigahyam, Samudravad, Krishna says. From this you can understand the Gambhiram or the greatness or the glory of the Vedic literature. Particularly Krishna is referring to the four Vedam, Upanishads, all that, Brahma Sutram, all of that. So, to generate some respect in us for the Vedic literature. That is why all this. Uddhava doesn't need that. We need it because we see, because we are used to these alphabets, isn't it? And we think everything is alphabets. Krishna is saying it's not alphabets, it's more to it than that. That's the point Krishna is making here. If we know that, we may not know, even if you say like this, you may not know everything, but even if you know that, there is something more deeper in the Vedam. If that much if you understand, that is enough. The reason being that, suppose Krishna says that Vedic literature is also like any other literature, then our tendency will be, we'll go and put our hands on that. We'll try to write commentary on that. We'll try to interpret that in different ways. Krishna doesn't want that. It is for that reason he has kept it like this. He has kept it like that. Therefore Krishna has said all these things. There's no other reason. So that we don't go and show our intelligence by by showing our knowledge and understanding and start interpreting Vedam in the wrong way. He doesn't want that. Therefore, he is saying that the position of the Vedam is far, far superior to us. Krishna says, I understand the Vedam. World doesn't understand. And therefore, he used those words. Anandaparam, Gambhiryam, Durvigahyam, Samudravat. He is saying, Shabda Brahmam, Sudurbhodam. But you can see the complexity of that, isn't it? When you can approach Vedam, say for example, Krishna is saying here, you will realize Vedam through Shabda Brahmam. Like chanting process. You can touch the Vedam, finally. At that time, you understand the Vedam. And then whatever you speak will be perfect. Up to that time, what you are speaking is not perfect. Like mentioned, para pashyanti madhyama vaikari, only one part of it we are conscious of now. Isn't it? The vaikari thing. Other 75% is unknown to us. So our speech is not perfect because of that. There is a statement in the Bhagavatam that rishis who have touched the in the deepest level, Paranadam, words follow them. Normally, how is it? When we want to say something, I have to look for the words what I have to use, isn't it? I have to know the words to express something. That means my thoughts I have to mold to suit the correct word. Whatever thoughts I'm coming through, it's coming through. I have to use those thoughts and I have to mold those thoughts in the form of words, vaikari, to express myself. When rishis speak, words will come and mold itself in the form of their thoughts. It's the other way it works. Just the opposite way. For us, when we speak, we have to find the appropriate word to express ourselves. For them, the words will come and form their thoughts and come out through them. The right, so perfect they will be when they speak. When we speak, it's not perfect. We know that. I won't get the right word. I'll have to keep thinking what's the right word to say. And sometimes I may say something and it'll all be wrong. Some people will misunderstand, we take it in the wrong way also. That's all due to my limitation of expressing things properly. You can't express it in any language, it's the same problem. Even in English, even whose mother tongue is English, they'll find it very difficult to express it. But when the rishis speak, what's what Krishna is saying? That words follow their thoughts, not the thoughts follow the words, like in our case. It's a big change it is, isn't it? Vajo arthonu dhavati. Vajam, their words, they follow the meaning. Not the thoughts follow the words. Rather, words follow the thoughts. Words follow the thoughts. So, then after that, Uddhava asked this question, isn't it? A lot of accounts there. 9, 11, 5, 3, 4, all the, a lot of accounts Krishna has asked. Uddhava has asked to Krishna. And these are all opinion of different rishis, according to their... Now, this is the most interesting thing of all. You know how our intelligence work? Our intelligence, how it works, I'll tell you. Suppose somebody has said something, and you have accepted that, and you have said that what he says is correct. Immediately the next conclusion will be, whatever the other person has said is wrong. This is the defect in the intelligence. In spiritual life, that will not help. You got to be very, very open, because it's so complicated it is. Nobody has any monopoly on Krishna. Nobody has. Krishna means the truth. I'm talking about Satyam Param Dhimahi, as Bhagavatam says. Nobody has any monopoly. Therefore, our intelligence is always like this. If you have accepted someone say something and you have accepted it as truth, then you will say next thing. Then the other person, what he has said, must be wrong, isn't it? This is the problem with the intelligence. This is a big problem. All of us have got this problem. So what to do? When it is a real problem, isn't it? You can think about it yourself. You heard something from somebody and you have accepted it as correct. And then you heard something else from somebody. The next thing you will say is, oh, that person must be wrong. He doesn't know he is wrong. Because the other person said it's the right thing. This is the problem with this brain, so-called brain. So Krishna is saying here, how you will conclude is, if you have accepted something as right, then you will say the other person what he has said must be wrong, isn't it? This is the way you will think. If one person has said it is 24 elements, and if somebody has said 25, you will say that must be wrong. You will ask the question straight away. Or if you say somebody has said 25 and you have accepted it, someone else has said 26, you will say he should be wrong. And similarly, that is why all these numbers, if somebody says 17 and somebody else has said it's only 16, then he says, oh, he's wrong. You will say like this. He said, so Krishna is saying here, it is not correct, Uddhava. All rishis have said, there is logic in everything. There is logic in everything. And what they have done is that they have sometimes added two things together and made it one. When they are giving the number of elements, sometimes they have joined two elements and made it one. Therefore, this difference in the numbers. After saying, and then Krishna gives a lot of explanations to that. How you got 11, how you got 9, how you got 7, how you got 5. That whole chapter is about that. Although Krishna says all these things, these differences, Krishna accepts all that. In reality, Krishna is saying, there is only one. That is in the later on, much later. There is not even two. Prakriti and Purusha is two, isn't it? Prakriti and Purusha is two. Material nature, or Maya, and Purusha, Ishvara. Even that doesn't exist. Krishna is saying that. There's only one. Only Atma. Only Atma. Parasvabhava karmani. What's that word? Na prashamsadi, na garhayer. He says, Purusha. This is in the very end of instructions to Uddhava in saying this. To Uddhava, you don't make these divisions anymore. Parasvabhava karmani na prashamsaye na grahaye vishwam egalmagam. Always see that one thing, soul, alma, nothing else exists. And that is what is known as prakritya purushanacha. In the very next verse, what does Krishna say? Parasvabhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi. Whoever is saying that there is a prashamsadi and indadi, who is glorifying it or who is criticizing it, both of them, sa ashubhrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada, they are not touched the truth yet. They are still being displaced from the truth. That way Krishna puts it there. You can now see how Ekadasha Skandam is too high for us to comprehend, isn't it? It's a very higher level of philosophy and also Krishna's exposition of the truth in a very higher level. And Krishna is speaking from that level, that whole chapter, that 28th chapter. Whole chapter, if you read, you will see. Kim badram, kim abadram, Krishna says. Dvaidasya vastunakhiyal. This dvaidam itself is wrong, he's saying there. kim badram kim abadram, what is auspicious and what is not auspicious. Dadasya vastuna kiyam. And lot of other verses you will see when you read through there. And now the important here, Krishna is saying here, that if you look into the 22nd chapter, that fourth verse, Shri Bhagavan Vacham Yuktam Jasandi Sarvatra Bhashande Brahmana Yada Maya Madhyam Udratya Vadadam Kinnu Durghadam. He says, under the influence of Maya, what cannot be spoken? What cannot be? Anything can be spoken, he is saying here. So he says here, all these numbers are spoken when you are situated within the circle of Maya, within the circle of Maya. And when you are speaking from Maya, within the periphery, within the jurisdiction of Maya, and when you are speaking from there, you have to say something. You have to say something. So, so he says here, this is the only one that is correct, or saying this is not correct, this is correct. All of them, Krishna's point is, so long as you have ego inside, only till then it is valid. It is due to ego inside. Everybody has ego. You shouldn't think that even very advanced personalities, they also have ego. They have not also come out of ego. You can see even in Vasishtha's case, when he had argument with Nimi, Vishwamitra had ego. If Vasishtha and Vishwamitra had ego, what about our ego? Cleaning up our ego is the most difficult thing. Even they who have performed such high austerities and penances, they have even got ego. That doesn't leave them very easily. So long as this ego is there, Krishna is saying here that all kinds of Siddhantam also will be there. So Siddhantam is also due to this pride inside. And if you have pride, you'll go and hold on to some Siddhantam. Some Siddhantam you'll go and catch in. And one who has completely gone, freed himself from all kinds of ego, he doesn't have any Siddhantam. Why? He is so surrendered inside. Completely surrendered. And because all Siddhantam sits on top of this Ahankaram, false ego. All Siddhantam sits on top of that. Ahankaram, once it has gone, Vadaha tam anishamyadi. Sixth verse, Krishna is saying. Yasam, that is Krishna's statement. All these Siddhantam, different theories and all that, Yasam, vidigarat asin, vigalpo vadadam padam, prapte shamam dame apyedi, vadastam anishamyadi. Vadastam anishamyadi. That is the answer to that question. That Yasam, vidigarat asin, vigalpo vadadam padam, prapte shamadame pedi vadastam anushamyadi. So when these three modes of material nature, sattvam, rajasa and tamasa, from there, when these modes of nature are interacting, three modes of material nature, it creates this imbalance. Vishamastiti comes in and he says here, shamadame prapte sati vikalpaha apyedi tamanuvada shamyadi. That if you have complete shamam and complete damam, what is shamam and damam? Shamam and damam means control of the mind and control of the senses, 100%. Then this difference will go. Difference will go. And if that vigalpam, that is called vigalpam, these differences are all vigalpam. And that vigalpam, when it is completely destroyed, this argument will stop. That is the way Krishna concluded that. Yasam vidigarad asid vigalpo vadadam padam prapte shamadame pyedi vadastam anushamyedi. Anushamyedi means it comes to an end. All argument comes to an end. Therefore, says to Uddhava, all this vigalpam is based on the Vedic philosophy, based on the Vedam. This is happening. And he says there, parasparanu pravesha tattvanam purusharshaba paurva avarya prasankhyanam yatha vaktu vivakshitam. Krishna is saying here that this tattvam, which is spoken in different number of elements, what we said like that, the 26, 27, 28, 26, 25, 7, 9. You see in the chapter, you can read it. If you want to know how they have come to these numbers, conclusion, Krishna is explaining there. Parasparanu pravesha tattvanam purusharshapha. So therefore, now you see, this ahangaram is why? Because of the influence of Maya. Three modes of nature. That's where this ahangaram also comes. Ahangaram was born from Maya, isn't it? If you see in the creation process, ahangaram was born from Maya. So when Maya, that means if ahangaram completely goes away, ego completely goes away means what? Maya has withdrawn from inside. And when that has gone, then there is the truth, then there is nothing to, there will not be any argument at all, because you are in the perfectly realization of the truth. Up to that point, Krishna is saying, when there is some ego inside, to different degrees in different people, and it has come from the rishis, all these things, isn't it? All these numbers were spoken by the rishis. Krishna says, it is okay. Because they are speaking also within this circle of Maya. And therefore, we can accept that, Krishna says. We can accept that. And parasparanu pravesha tattvanam purusharshabha. Parasparanu pravesham. That means, this parasparanu pravesham means that these tattvams, different elements, how they combine and separate. That is parasparanu pravesham means that. How they combine together, how they separate together. For example, Krishna mentions here that the 28 he has spoken in one place. For example, we have five material elements, five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, and five tanmatras. That means shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandham. They are connected with the five senses of knowledge, isn't it? Five senses of knowledge are connected to five tanmatras. Then there is five tanmatras in the form, similarly for the five senses of action also. Five senses of action also have five tanmatras in the same way. So if you add up all that, then five material elements to it, then Purusha, Pragrati, Mahatattvam, another three. Also it will come to 28. Come to 28. So this is how 28 has come, Krishna says. Some people are interested in all these things. Not everybody. Some people gets interested in that. But because we are talking Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to say these things. And Prakriti means, now here you can see one of the 28 is Prakriti. And Prakriti means the balanced state of Sattvagunam, Rajagunam, Tamagunam. All three in a balanced state. And the same thing when it comes to Ayurvedam, they call it as mucus, bile and air. And when they are in a balanced state in the body, we remain healthy. We remain healthy. And Ashtanga Hridayam, Ayurveda text says, when they are unbalanced, when these three things are unbalanced, you get sick. You get sick. And when they are balanced, you are healthy. Similarly, if the Sattvagunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam, the three modes also, which is the original nature of the Prakriti or Maya, if they are balanced in us, we will be in a balanced state. As we saw before, that the these all the modes of nature is necessary for us. We need all the three. Suppose we have only Sattvagunam, then what will happen? Then you won't be able to do anything. You'll be sitting there in one place like. If you have only Rajogunam, what will happen? You'll be running around all over. Like if you're connected to the electric supply. You see, when the children play with that toy, with the battery-powered car and all that, like that, that is Rajogunam, that is. Tamogunam means you have no enthusiasm for anything, completely depressed, in a very hopeless case situation. So Prakriti's original nature is this balanced state of these three modes. So Purusha means Purusha, then Krishna talks about Purusha. Purusha means, is it Jiva or Ishvara? That question will come. Prakriti is modes of nature, three modes of nature. How will you calculate Purusha? How will you look at Purusha? That depends on where you are. You see, whether it is Purusha or Jiva or Ishvara, how will you calculate Purusha? That depends on where you are situated. For example, if you are realized the truth, you are Ishvara. You are Ishvara. If you are in the ignorant state, then you are Jiva. That is how it changes. This Jiva Ishvara state. For example, if I am thinking I am the false ego, I am in Ajnanam, Avidya, it is, isn't it? At that time I am Jiva. I am Jiva. But say, imagine one day, by Krishna's grace, you have realized that I am purely spirit soul, Aham Brahmasmi. That full realization has happened, like the way Shobhramarshi and many other great personalities have realized it. They have realized the truth. In other words, they are no more thinking they are Jiva. They have come to and realize that they are Atma. At that time, you are Ishvara in that sense. You are Ishvara. So, depending on where you stand, you are a Jiva or a Ishvara. Depending on your realization, on your realization. The majority of us are always Jiva. We are almost of the time Jiva, isn't it? It's rarely you meet someone who is Ishvara state. Jiva state is like that. So, and when we are Jiva, when we are a Jiva, we have to be dependent on Ishvara. That's the relationship. Ishvara is Ishvara Parama Krishna. Isn't it? Krishna is Ishvara. So, we have to be, as a Jiva, we are dependent on Ishvara. We have no other way. We have to be dependent on Ishvara. And because that is the way Jiva's consciousness is. Jiva has no choice there. To be dependent on Krishna all the time for our own survival, Jiva, in order for Jiva to have Shanti inside, peace inside, he has to be dependent on Ishvara. He has to be dependent on Ishvara. So, and Jiva state is a kind of ego also. Ahankaram it is, isn't it? And as long as that ahankaram inside, you should have Ishvara to hold on to. Ishvara to hold on to. And some people, they have this 26 tattva, they say, 26 elements, they say like that. And they are saying that Jiva, Ishvara, that difference is only in the ignorant state. In the ignorant state. Therefore, that difference doesn't exist. And therefore, they say there's only 25. Instead of Jiva and Ishvara separating them, they are making it as one, and therefore they are saying there's only 25. Like this, Krishna has given explanations there. 25, 26, 17. The logic for all of that, Krishna is saying here. And after giving all that, Uddhava says to Krishna. Krishna, he is asking Krishna, even though I accept everything what you have said, still Prakriti and Purusha is still there, is it not? He's asking. Uddhava is asking. That cannot go, can it? He says Prakriti and Purusha, material nature and Krishna. Do they not exist? And when I am looking outside, all I am seeing is Prakriti. Prakriti is what you are seeing always, isn't it? Material nature is what you are experiencing and seeing all the time. And inside this Prakriti, there is Jiva also. So, that is what he is saying here. If you look into the 26th verse, what Krishna says there, Uddhava's words there, you will see, Uddhava says, Prakriti purushascha ubhau yadyapyalpa vilakshanam അന്യോന്യ അപാശ്രയാൽ കൃഷ്ണ ദൃശ്യത്തെ നിധാതയോഹോ പ്രകൃതവും ലക്ഷ്യത്തെ ആത്മ പ്രകൃതിശ്ച തഥാത്മനി. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഉദ്ധവാസ് ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ. ആഫ്റ്റർ കൃഷ്ണ എക്സ്പ്ലെയിൻ ടു ഉദ്ധവ ഹൗ ഓൾ ദീസ് ഡിഫറെൻറ്റ് നമ്പേഴ്സ് ഹഡ് കം. ഇഫ് യു വോണ്ട് ടു ഗോ ബാക്ക് ആൻഡ് ലുക്ക് അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് യു ക്യാൻ സീ ദർ കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് സെയിങ് ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് ഇൻ ടു വേഴ്സ് നമ്പർ 14. Verse number 14. That verse number 14 tells you how the rishis have spoken in terms of numbers as 9. 9 different elements. Purusha, Prakriti, Mahatattvam, Ahankaram, Pancha Tanmatra. These are the 5 Tanmatras plus Purusha, Prakriti, Mahatattvam, Ahankaram. 5 plus 4, 9. That is the explanation for 9. Then, that's the verse number 14. Verse number 14. Then, 15th verse, Krishna is saying how it has got 11. He's saying there, 5 senses of knowledge, 5 senses of action, and the mind. 5 plus 5 plus 1, 11. That is that. Then, how it is called 5, that is mentions here, that the ശബ്ദസ്പർശ രസോ ഗന്ധോ രൂപം ചേത്യർത്ഥ ചാതയ ഗതി ഉക്തിത്വം ഉർഗസർഗം ശില്പാനി കർമ്മ ആയതന സിദ്ധയ. ഇൻ അദർ വേർഡ്സ്, ജസ്റ്റ് ലൈക്ക് യു സീ, 5 സെൻസസ് ഓഫ് നോളജ് വി ഹാവ്, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? ഫോർ 5 സെൻസസ് ഓഫ് നോളജ് കറസ്പോണ്ടിംഗ്ലി ഇറ്റ്സ് തന്മാത്ര ഓൾസോ. ഫോർ എക്സാമ്പിൾ, ഇയർ ഇറ്റ്സ് തന്മാത്ര ഇസ് സൗണ്ട്, സൗണ്ട് ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? വി ഹാവ് ദിസ് സെൻസ് ഇയർ and the sound, its subtle form, tanmatra form is sound. We have the touch power, the subtle form of that is sparsham. The skin has got a capacity to touch, and the subtle form of that is the touch, sense of touch. Eye is able to see, and Rūpam is the subtle form of I. Subtle form of the I. I is the sense, and its subtle form is form. Form. Nose is Gandham. Nose is one sense, isn't it? Its subtle form is smell. Smell, capacity to smell. Gandham. So this way, for senses of knowledge has got its subtle side. Similarly, senses of action also has its subtle things. He mentions that here. Gadi, Ukti, Malatyagam, Bhogam, Shilpam comes from the 5 senses of action. 5 senses of action, you know. Word, speech, power of speech. Hand, legs. Vaka, Pani, Pani, Vaka, Pani, Padam. Then, your... genitals and the what do you call the rectum. Yeah, the rectum. So the 5 senses of action. Correspondingly, these 5 sthanmatras for the 5, which they call it as Gadi, Ukti, Malatyagam, Bhogam, Shilpam. That's the words in the Shastra, whatever that is there in that English translation, you can find that corresponding ones. So that is how that 5 has come, number 5. 5, 11 and 9. Then Krishna also mentions there that the, if you go back into that, you will see here that Shadi, he says there, some people say, he says, these are all different opinion of the different sages, that's all it is. 19 words says here, Saptaiva dhadava iti tantrartha panchakhadaya jnanam almodaya dharam stado dehendriyasavam. Then 5 tanmatras, then the jiva, then drashtu drishyam, that means seer and the seen, and the alma, which is the basis of everything. If you add up all that, it is 7. It is 7. From these 7, he says, the material body, senses, pranam and other things have come out. So that's one explanation for the number 7. Then in the next verse, he's saying here that the that shaditratabi bhudani pancha shashta para puman. So in the form of 6 tattva, 6 elements, Krishna has spoken. Then in the form of 5 elements or 5 material elements, and the 6th one is Paramatma, super soul, he says here. And then in the form of 4 tattvam, he says here, tejase appa prithivi, only 3. That means, he mentions here like this, that from the soul came, is not taking into account the sky element. Instead taking earth, water and fire, air and ether is left out. So rishis have come with all these different kinds of calculations. And he says here that like this, and from the soul has come 3, like means the soul and these 3 altogether 4, he's saying. It means tejas, the upper and prithivi. Chatvareti tatravi tejas avam annam almana jadani tairidam jadam janma avayavina khalu. You can understand better from the English book because that's all written down carefully about that. Then he says how 17 has come. 5 material elements, 5 tanmatras, 5 senses, then mind and the soul, alma, 17. Then how 16 has come, he explains that. And then how 13 has come, that's all in the 23rd verse. And in the 24th verse, he is talking about how 11 has come. And how prakriti, vikriti, 7, alma, total 9, how it has come, he says here. So all these are the explanations to the tattvam, and these are all there in that book very well written, in the number of tattvam, because that's very technical, isn't it? How this is classified, how the different numbers have come about, so you can read that. It's not particularly interesting, but some people are interested. Those who are really interested, it's there. So, it was at that time Uddhava asked this question. Uddhava's question was, Prakriti and Purusha, that means material nature and Purusha, by nature they are different, are they not? One is Asata, one is Sata. One is Avara Prakriti, other one is Para Prakriti. Purusha is Sat, Prakriti is Asat, isn't it? Why is asat? Because it's changing, always changing. Maya, in other words. So, because they are like that, they are like that, but they are always together, is it not? Uddhava is asking. That's an interesting question. He says, and because they are together, it is difficult to know the difference. You see, for us there is no two now, isn't it? We only know the Prakriti, we don't know anything else. Krishna is unknown to us. Atma is unknown to us at the moment. What we know now is only Prakriti. So, when Krishna is, Uddhava is saying to Krishna, but you are saying there is two. But for us, there is only one. The one, what we find as one, is not the way why Krishna sees as one. Krishna's one is the other one. Which one? Purusha. Our one is this Prakriti. And these two are always together. Which one? Purusha and Prakriti is always together. And because they are together, is that why we are not able to see your one? Whereas we see our one. You are not able to see your one, what you are talking about. That's the way Uddhava frames the question. He says, Prakriti Purushas Chobhav Yadip Alpa Vilakshanaha Anyonyam Abhashrayal Krishna Drishyade Na Bhidatayoho. They are so interdependent, which one? Prakriti and Purusha. Anyonyam Abhashayad, Krishna. Therefore, Drishyade, we are seeing it as one, na vidhatayoho. We are not seeing them as separate. Is that the reason Uddhava is asking Krishna? And one thing you can see, Atma you can never see separately, isn't it? But Atma is there everywhere. In Prakriti, all over there is Atma. Atma is present there. Similarly, Prakriti, in Prakriti you see Atma everywhere. Similarly, in Atma you see Prakriti also. Through Shastram, that is how you see. In the Atma, you see the Prakriti. Now, with our present vision, we see Atma in the Prakriti. Isn't it? Things are moving, that means there is Atma there. Changes are happening because of the presence of Atma there. And because of Atma, all actions are going on in the Prakriti, in the body. Eating, sleeping, cause all present blood circulation, breathing. Everything is Atma, isn't it? Atma is behind it. Power of Atma is coming out. Sun is moving around in the orbit because of Atma. Moon is shining, sun is shining, planets are moving around, all because of Atma. Prakriti is also following the same rule, earth planet, all the creation in there. Everything is functioning because of Atma, Atma's presence. So Atma and Prakriti seems to be always together, and we are only seeing the Prakriti, and Krishna is seeing only the Atma. And is it because, Uddhava is saying, is it like that because this Prakriti Purusha is always together? They don't seem to any time separately, any time. That's what this question was. Prakrito lakshyate Atma, prakritischa tatha atmani. He says like this, that in Prakriti you get to know Atma, and in Atma you get to see Prakriti there. And when I am saying I, about me, I'm not only referring to my body, he said, I'm also referring to my Atma. Because that's, it is he who is saying this, I am. Body is not saying. But when I am saying to someone about me, practically I am referring to the body. See the problem? The person who is saying I am, is saying about the body to someone, I am. I am introducing, as I said yesterday, that you are introducing yourself to somebody, I am so and so. You are introducing your body, since that's why you shake the hands and he extends your hand, you extend your hand. Because for you, you are the body, for him, he is the body. Through body only you are relating each other. Whereas, Krishna's, Uddhava's point is, always this and this body has come from Prakriti and Atma has come from Krishna. Our Atma has come from Krishna. Body has come from Prakriti. So, Uddhava's question is, this dharmam, that means this function of this body and the Atma like this, what is the dharmam of the body? What is the dharmam of the Atma? That is Uddhava's question. Good question it is, isn't it? That how do you know that deham, shariram, or body has come from Prakriti? Body has come from Prakriti. Atma has come from Krishna. They join together and they are always together. Any living entity if you take in this world, they are together, isn't it? The combination of these two, Atma and Prakriti. And when I am saying about me, I am, when I am saying like that, I can only relate with me in the form of these two together, body and the soul together, is it not? You are also conscious of that I am spirit soul and also this body, me. You are identifying like that with the body and the soul together. You don't say separately that, oh, this body is Dinadhyatma. You don't shake hands with anybody like that, isn't it? Oh, I don't say, I am spirit soul. Neither is possible, is it not? So when you introduce yourself, you are introducing both yourself as Atma and also your identification. Both identification you are introducing together with the self as well as the non-self. Self and the non-self combinedly you are introducing to some person. So whose dharmam, whose function is what? That is Uddhava's question. Because these two things have come from two different places. Body has come from the Prakriti. Atma has come from Krishna. Krishna is Atma present inside. Evam me pundari gacham mahandam samshayam hridi chetumarhasi sarvajna vajobair nayanai gunehi. This is Uddhava's next verse. Uddhava says here, O lotus-eyed Krishna, this great doubt I have in my mind, can you clear it for me? Because vajobir nayanai gunehi, you are a very expert in speaking things, aren't you? Uddhava compliments Krishna. Nayanai gunehi, he says. Vajobir nayanai gunehi. You have that expertise of presenting things in the proper way, Uddhava says to Krishna. So it is in that context he has spoken here that our problem here is that all these two things are separate. Which one? Purusha and Prakriti. That is what, again, Uddhava is saying. This is a Sankhya it is. Sankhya Siddhantam. Sankhya philosophy is that Purusha and Prakriti is separate. And Uddhava is asking that question here. In the Shastram they say Pangu Andhavat. Pangu Andhavat means that two people, one person is blind, another person is lame. This is the way they mention this Prakriti Purusha combination. They join together. One person is blind, another person is lame. So the lame person sits on top of the blind person. Blind person sits on top of the lame person. Other way, yeah. He sits on and they go together, isn't it? One man cannot see, but his limbs are okay. The other person can see, but he is lame. So, the lame person sits on top of the blind person and the journey begins. And this body, that is in Sankhyam, what they say like this, that the lame person will tell him which direction to go. And the blind person will walk to that in that direction. Similarly, Prakriti, material nature, is blind. Material nature is blind. Purusha is lame. Material nature is blind and Purusha is lame. Purusha on his own cannot walk. Purusha on his own cannot walk. And Prakriti on its own does not have the eyes nor has the consciousness to do anything. Not anything. But when they join together, all problem starts. Isn't it? It's like that, is it not? If you look at it, this body, they join together and then from the trouble started from that day when they join together. So, what we are experiencing now is the result of that. This body, in other words. If you see, in Saundarya Lahari also, this same principle is spoken as Shiva and Shakti. Shiva Shaktya Yukto Bhavadi. The first verse itself begins like that. Shiva cannot do anything if Shakti is not there. And Shakti will only do something when Shiva is there. That is that. And the first verse he says here, that Prakriti is presented as the manifestation of Shakti or Sri Parvati in other words. You are giving a personal form to that as Prakriti, as Sri Parvati there. And without Shiva, Sri Parvati cannot move. Shakti cannot move without Shiva. And that is what is mentioned. It's the same Sankhyam principle as spoken there. It is keeping that principle Uddhava is asking this question about Sankhyam. Although they are separate, one is dependent on the other. Shakti is dependent on Shiva and Shiva is dependent on Shakti. Shiva is dependent on Shakti. So, but at the same time, when we perceive Purusha, Shiva, or the Atma, we are knowing about this Purusha, within the prakriti, isn't it? Prakriti is everywhere, and within prakriti we are experiencing Purusha. We are experiencing Purusha. At least that is how we perceive at the moment. For example, my body, mind, intelligence, false ego, all these things exist. Inside that, there is this thing Purusha called the Jiva, inside. Atma inside is Jiva inside. Somewhere in the body, there is a thing called the Jiva inside. And that's where I am experiencing my awareness, existence. So, that is what he is saying here. Atma or Chaitanyam or living force is experienced in Prakriti. It is inside Prakriti you are experiencing that. Prakriti purushaschabho yadyapyalpa vilakshano anyonyabhashayal krishna drishyade na bhidathayoho prakritau lakshyade atma prakritischa tathalmani. Then evame pundarikaksha mahandam samshayam hrudi chetum arhasi sarvajna vajopir naya naipunehi. That is what he is saying like that. And please explain this to me. When this is the time, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see when Uddhava asked this question, it will appear as though from the words, Krishna is smiling. Krishna is smiling. You will see there. That answer begins like that. It's not said that Krishna is smiling there. It's not spoken like that. It's not history. It's that the way Krishna answers this question, because you can see that confusion what Uddhava has. And Krishna has no confusion. Uddhava has got confusion. So when somebody asks something like this, naturally in this world also you will see sometimes, when somebody says something, and if you know very well that it is wrong, you may smile sometimes, isn't it? Oh, that person is confused. Seeing his confusion, you will smile. And similarly, Krishna is smiling there. We'll continue a little later. What is that? After. What time should we stop? Half an hour. Okay. So, then, in that case, normally we stop at 9, isn't it?
Yeah, if you want to stop.
No. Yeah. Doesn't matter. So, Uddhava asked this question. And Krishna says, Krishna smiles, and Krishna's answer, you have to look at how he answers that. He says to him that that vajobir naya nai gunehi, see that word. What he's indicating is, when you are answering me, you should answer me in such a way so that I will understand it. Uddhava is saying, don't answer me in a level like in such a level that you have done before. I couldn't understand anything. Don't answer me like that. He's saying like that. Otherwise, why those words? Vajobir naya naivunehi. After all, you are experts with the words, aren't you? He says. You see, Uddhava, actually it's a very friendly conversation. You see how the relationship is between Krishna and Uddhava. Absolute Truth, who is in the highest state, is speaking to Uddhava. But look at the relationship, how friendly they are. There has to have some relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, all this spiritual life has no meaning. All these devotees are showing to us that Uddhava has such a close relationship with Krishna. Uddhava was saying to him, Vajobir Nai, yesterday he said, Ayushman, live long, he said to him. And it's not spoken in any patronizing way. He's feeling that happiness inside, able to receive this great science of the self, knowledge from Krishna. Uddhava is feeling every moment that happiness inside and showing that gratitude to Krishna. That is expression of the gratitude inside. And otherwise we won't go and say to Krishna, Ayushman Bhava, live forever. It's the other way it should be, rather than this way. But Uddhava is saying like that. Why? That friendship inside. Because Uddhava, 115 years of association, isn't it? There is no barrier in between them. Even though Krishna has said, you are my disciple now, not anymore my friend, and I am your teacher. That's how he started, isn't it? This 11th canto started like that. If you remember that verses, if you go back, you will see the 6th, 7th chapter when Uddhavadesham begins. So even though it is spoken like that, relationship is so good that Uddhava Krishna says something sometimes, and sometimes Krishna is saying that, Uddhava, nobody is dearer to me than you. That love is flowing from inside, from Krishna. That is Uddhava's good fortune, isn't it? And remember, Uddhava is not Krishna's disciple. Actually, Uddhava is Brihaspati's disciple, isn't it? Vrishninam parvaro mandri krishnasya daidya sakha. Shishyo Brihaspade sakshal Uddhava buddhisattama. 47th chapter, if you look in the 10th canto, you will see the first verse itself. Shishyo Brihaspade sakshal Uddhava. Uddhava is Brihaspati's disciple and highly intelligent, buddhisattama. Buddhisattama. Now, Krishna is not saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, you took initiation from Brihaspati, why are you coming to me? This is us lot. We are like that. This is our spiritual life. This is the problem we have got. We made a mess of everything. Our dirt inside is so filthy inside. This is how we have understood spiritual life. What can be done? Tell me. That Krishna knows that Uddhava has taken disciple of Brihaspati. He didn't tell him, go and ask Brihaspati, why are you asking me? He didn't say that, did he? If spiritual life is like that, where is the difference in material life and spiritual life? Material life, we do all these things. Ego, arrogance, and harshness, all this is part of material life. We bring the same thing into spiritual life and we make our institution based on this. Imagine what that institution will do then. We shouldn't do that. That is not good. You should learn from them that Uddhava had a friendly relationship with, and Krishna is willing to give everything to Uddhava in spite of the fact that he has been not a direct disciple, so to say. Krishna didn't give any initiation or anything to him. But still, the Shastram is like that. This is what you notice there in that relationship between. So Krishna's Uddhava says to him, you should answer me in a way I can understand that, Uddhava says. In a very nice way, he puts it to him. That don't complicate it like the way you have done before. Because everywhere else before, twice you have seen in this 11th canto, Uddhava has asked question, Krishna has answered something different, isn't it? When Uddhava said about Gunadosham and all that, Krishna is saying there is only three yoga systems, he says. Is it not? You remember that? That Krishna says, Uddhava, I'll tell you, there is only three yoga systems, Jnanam, Karmam, Bhakti. And he goes on explaining that to Uddhava. But Uddhava will get it later, after Uddhava understands why Krishna has said that. Similarly, earlier also, if you remember in the end of 11th chapter, these are two very clear examples in the Bhagavadam, where Uddhava asking, Krishna answering in a different way. In the 11th chapter, if you look, you will see, again he is saying, he has the same problem. I have a lot of doubts, he says, about various things. And what did he do? He said at the end of 11th chapter, he says that the... in the 12th chapter, 13th verse, he's saying, Uddhava Vaja, Samshe Shrunodo Vajam, Tava Yogeshura Ishura, Na Nivartada Almasto, Yana Bhyamidi Me Mana. Verse 16. So 16th verse, Uddhava Vaja. Uddhava is saying that my doubt is not going away and more getting confused, Uddhava is saying. And when I keep hearing you, I'm getting more and more doubts are coming up. He says, Na nivartada almasto yena brahmidi me mana. I have doubts about this, he says here. That he's addressing Krishna as Yogeshwareshwara. That means all the Yogeshwaras Ishwara, in other words. Still, my doubts are not going away. My mind is completely confused. And earlier you have told me that in the 10th chapter, you should follow all the dharmam, varnashrama dharmam, you should follow. And now you are saying give up all dharmam. Give up all dharmam. And is that not contradicting each other? This was the question. This is the question in that verse. That question has come from that. See, if you look into the 10th chapter, 10th chapter is a very important chapter. Because that chapter tells you, in the Bhagavadam, that chapter will tell you the proper spiritual life. In the sense, in the right way, how Krishna has structured spiritual life is that 10th chapter. Varnashrama dharmam, spiritual master, disciple, jnanam, bhakti, all that is spoken in that 10th chapter. And that is why tattva jnanam is in that 10th chapter. It's given a lot of importance, that 10th chapter. So, in 10th chapter, all those things were spoken. Varnashrama dharmam was spoken in that. And all those verses, if you look into that 10th chapter, you will see very glorious verses. Talks about the disciple, a proper disciple. To say disciple, what it means, it's there. Amani, Amalsvaro, Daksha, Nurmama, Drada Saukrida, Asatvaram, Artha Jinyasu, Anasuya, Amokhavak. And all of them is a disciple. And about the spiritual master, what does it say? Yaman Abhishnam Seveda, Niyaman Malpara Kochil, Madhabhityam Gurum, Shandam, Upasidam, Madalmagam. See, what a respect Krishna is giving to a guru in that state. He's saying his qualities are such that a disciple of this quality comes to him, there has to be fire, he says, between the two. There has to be a fire and there has to be self-realization. So that chapter is important. And there, everything was spoken in a very structured way. Spiritual master, disciple, prior to coming to that, spoke about Varna Dharmam, Ashrama Dharmam, everything. Very nicely organized way, spoken there. And then, when he came to 11th chapter, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, give up all that, forget all that thing, what I've said before. Just develop bhakti. Develop bhakti in the heart. And when Uddhava heard, if you can see in the 11th chapter, you will see that 11th chapter also, part of it is talking about liberation and bondage. Because in the 10th chapter also Uddhava had doubts. So when Uddhava asked that question, end of 10th chapter, you have to see the flow of this conversation between Uddhava and Krishna. Shri Krishna Uddhava Samvadam, it's called. At the end of 10th chapter, Uddhava asked this question, that you have spoken about all these things before, and you spoke about the three modes of material nature, and you are mentioning here, like the way Arjuna asked, and a person who has realized the truth in this way, what will happen to him? What will be his state? Then, so at that time it looks at Uddhava's perception was about bondage and liberation. Immediately, the answer begins from Krishna. He says, there is no such thing called bondage, there is no such thing called liberation, Krishna saying to Uddhava. So Uddhava gets more and more finding it difficult to grasp things, what Krishna is saying. So the whole of 11th chapter, when Krishna sends that, Uddhava hasn't really caught on with that 10th chapter and Uddhava is having difficulty, Krishna brought in bhakti there and spoke about bhakti in a very big way. In line with the Upanishad's knowledge, he has spoken bhakti. In line with the Upanishad's knowledge. That's where he spoke about these two birds sitting on the tree and all those things. You have to go through those chapters. Only then you will get to know about it. And finally, Krishna says, he concludes the knowledge side and then comes to bhakti again and talks about bhakti. So when Krishna spoke about bhakti and Uddhava heard all that, Krishna spoke about the devotees and their symptoms, And sadhana bhakti also Krishna has spoken. And finally, Krishna talks about the highest level of bhakti and the devotee's nature. Yadyadishtadamam loge echadi priyamalpana tatan nivedayan mahim tada anandhyaya kalpade. That if you can't go through all the other things, what Krishna has spoken before, in the 10th chapter, Krishna says, develop bhakti, he says. And that bhakti, Krishna glorifies. You will see Ekadasha Skandam throughout, Krishna will glorify jnanam and finally bring it down and tie it to bhakti. This is the beauty of Ekadasha. That everywhere, even karmam also, he will talk about karma yogam, glorify karma yogam and many things, and finally bring it down and tie it to bhakti. Because without bhakti, jnanam and karmam has no meaning. Has no meaning. So it is in that sense that Krishna has spoken all those verses. And when it came to the 12th chapter, Krishna spoke about satsangam to develop bhakti as the easiest process. Satsangam as the best process to develop bhakti. After hearing all that, Uddhava says, my doubts, I'm still confused, he said. So much confusion, he said. My confusion has gone very high. So at that time, Krishna answers how Jiva was born. Sayesha Jivo Vivara Prasudi. He says, Pranena Goshena Guham Pravishta. Completely different topic, Krishna has started from there. So keeping all these experiences, Uddhava is saying now, then many chapters have gone, but Uddhava hasn't forgotten all that. So Uddhava now says to Krishna in this chapter that he says, like in the 27th verse, O lotus-eyed one, Mahandam Samshayam Hridi, you are very capable of clearing my doubts. Chetumarhasi Sarvajna, Sarvajna means one who knows everything, isn't it? Chetumarhasi Sarvajna, Vajobir Naya Naivunehi, because you are competent, you are capable with appropriate way to speak to clear the doubts, aren't you? He says. He glorifies Krishna in that way. So, and then he asked a question, isn't it? Uddhava asked this question in that way. Sometimes this happens because one man going to another person and asked a doubt. And when he gave the answer, he got 10 more doubts. Earlier, he had only one doubt. When he went asking, he had only one doubt. But after he spoke the answer, he got 10 more doubts. Not only that, the first doubt was not cleared even. This happens all the time. Have you noticed that? That you have one doubt, you went and asked somebody about that one doubt you had. And when he answered, that doubt didn't get cleared. Extra, you got another 10 doubts with that. So, because a lot of new topics have come in at that time. And he didn't know anything about it before. Now he have come to know about that. So this is what happens when you get to know too many things. This is another problem. So too many doubts also will come. So many things got inside and so many doubts came. So Uddhava is asking the same way, that you have so many things Uddhava didn't know before, Krishna has spoken. And now more doubts have come, and the old doubt wasn't cleared either. So that is why he says here, Naya Naivunehi. Naya Naivunehi means you are capable of speaking in such a way it will digest inside. My doubts will get. Yeah. So this is quite common in Shastram. This is all in the Shastram. It's not outside. Our mind is too much in a structured way it works, isn't it? But in the Shastram, if you look, you will see all sorts of arguments and all sorts of explanations. And then you will realize that truth is not what I thought it is. It has got a very different aspect altogether. When you get to know many, many people with high realizations, and when they are discussing each other, if you observe that, you will know that how stupid we are. That how we hold on to one line, one way, and thinking that this is the only right thing, everything else is wrong. In order to get rid of that, what we have to do is to be in the assembly. If you come to know about people who have different realizations, I'm not talking about interfaith now, don't get wrong. What we are talking about is, from the Vedic science itself, Shastram, who have studied very well, and often in the past, the kings used to arrange their Vakyartha Sadasa, they call it. That means their job is to come together and discuss Shastram together. And that will be discussed in a very in a civilized way, not calling each other names or anything, but in a spoken in a very cultured way, because they are all learned people, they all have mutually respect to each other, but their realizations are different. So when they come together and discuss together, you will see the atmosphere is different. So that example mentions here like that. And the system they have is Purvavaksham, Uttaravaksham, they call it. Purvavaksham means one personality among them, or the king himself might have thought about. Sometimes kings are also scholars, you see. When they are scholars, they would have studied Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and Upanishads and all that, and they will have some genuine doubt. So the right hand, because spiritual topics are difficult to ask one person a question and get an answer, the king will put this question in front of the whole group of people who are present there, who are also well learned in the Shastra. So every one of them will give their own understanding. They will have present it in front of the king, and king has to get satisfied with the answer. Because king is a scholar himself. Famous kings were like that. They were all into this Vakyartha. That was their happiness in life, studying Shastram, debating on the Shastram. They didn't go for other kinds of entertainment. This was their main thing. And famous kings, they always kept famous scholars and famous learned personalities in their court. So suppose you have studied Sanskrit very well, and if you go and sit there, still you won't understand. Why? Because to be a part of that, you have to know Tarka Shastram. Tarka means to argue properly. There's a science, whole science behind it. How to argue in a logical way? You have to know that science. There's a particular Shastram which is completely devoted for this, to argue. Tarkam. Tarkam also divided into 4 or 5 branches and all that. It's got so many things. So when you go there, even though you are studied in Sanskrit, if you sit there and listen to it, you won't understand anything. What are they talking about? And sometimes people will get all kinds of false understanding because they have not studied that particular Shastram very well. Tarkam is one of the 14 Upangam of the Vedam. Vedam has got 4 main Vedam, 6 Upavedam, and then 14 altogether. Upavedam and 6 Upavedam, Jyotisham, Niruktam, Kalpam, Vyakaranam, like that, and Tarkam is one of them. Nyayam, Tarkam, all that. So here, they are big scholars who are discussing each other, and following is very, very difficult. And the personalities who will be present there will be highly learned heads of the great mutts, like Sringeri Mutt, Kanchi Matham, or Badrina Jyotisha Matham. Or there were famous personalities present in different mutts at different times, Jagannathpuri Matham also. But they will be present in those mutts. Kings will invite them and they will be present there. Sometimes some questions nobody will be able to answer. And it is at that time the top Acharya who was present there, he will give his. There are books about that, you can read that, about discussions happened, what happened about different things, and how the discussions happened, and finally how the answer was revealed by the Acharya who was present there. So, and ordinary people can also go there and sit there to see, watch this. You know, some people who are interested in that, they can go and sit and listen to that also. But they won't understand anything. And so once somebody was saying this, that who was quite learned, but he was not participating in that. He went and sat there to enjoy these discussions among the, because he was interested in the Shastram to see. Those who will be involved in the discussion will be only very few people. maybe 6 or 8 or 10 people will be there, not more than that. So others will come and sit there to watch and the discussion going on. So there was one lady who was also sitting there, and she was watching this whole discussion, and she was shaking her head very seriously and expressing her wonder and amazement of the answers given by some people. So this person was saying that when he saw that lady who was discussing like this, involved in the discussion, he thought that probably she understands everything so well, that's why she is. Actually, she was not able to understand anything. She didn't know anything. She was just participating in that, and she was showing great bhakti, devotion to everybody who was present there. She was very emotional about it. So Uddhava is also in the same way saying here, Shastram has got this problem. When Shastram comes to our level, we will understand in one way. This is the difficulty. When Shastram is brought to our level, we will understand it in our level. We will understand it that way, isn't it? So that is why Uddhava said, Maya Naipunehi, because of that reason. Krishna may answer in the best way in the Shastram, but when it comes to my level, the meaning will all change. So you have to speak in such a way that I get it properly. See the point what Uddhava is making there? It's a very important point. That is why, you know, what I'm saying is that when we read book, in the book they will present it in one way, isn't it? They will, for example, if you take Sridhara Swami's commentary on the Bhagavatam, and if you read it, it's on a very high level written. It's not for ordinary people. And those who have studied Bhagavatam, those who have reflected on Bhagavatam well, heard from the right authority, if you hear from them, you will understand Sridhara Swami's commentary. Otherwise, you won't understand. So therefore, when you are speaking from Bhagavatam, even though you are using Sridhara Swami's commentary as the basis for presenting it, you have to present it in such a way to suit the audience. Otherwise, if you just read the Sridhara Swami's commentary, you will misunderstand things. You will misunderstand things. And that is exactly what Uddhava is saying to Krishna. Uddhava is saying to Krishna that you are expert in speaking, aren't you? What is that expertise? Expertise is this, that when you speak, when it comes to my level, I should get the message properly without any impurity, contamination in that. It should not that my mind has interpreted it, because as soon as you hear something, what happens? Your mind will interpret it in one way and you will take that as what has been spoken. You should avoid that, he's saying, by saying this, Chertum arhasi sarvajnya vachobir naya naipunehi. Neither. You have got that expertise to present it properly to me so that I will get it right. That's what that word is all about. So here, I think we'll have a break. 9:30.
चेदोदर्पणमर्जनं भवमहादावाग्निनिर्वापणं श्रेयःकैतवचन्द्रिकाविदरणं विद्यावतु जीवनम् आनन्दाम्बुदिवर्धनं प्रतिपदपूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वाप्नास्वपनं परं विजयते श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनं नाम्नामकारि बहुधा निजसर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिता नियमिता स्मरणेन काला एतादृशा तव कृपा भगवान् ममापि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहाजनिनानुरागाः तृणारविशुनीचेन तरोरविसहिष्णुना अमानिनामानदेन कीर्तनीयः सदा हरि न धनं न जनं न सुन्दरीं कविदां वा जगदीशकामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरि भवदात् भक्तिरहै दुहि त्वयि अयि नन्दतनुजकिङ्करं पतितामां शमे भवाम्भुदौ Kripayatava pada pangaja sthita duli sadrisham vichindaya Ashushudaraya vadanam gadgadaruddhaya gira Pulagair nijidam kadavabho tavannama grahane bhavishyati Yugaidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam Shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name Ashleshava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam armahadam karotuva Yathatadava vidada dulambano matprananatha sunayevana param.
So the important point, when Shastram, when it comes to our level, our understanding can change. Krishna says here,
and Uddhava is conscious of that problem. That's why Uddhava says here, Naya Naipunehi, he mentions that, isn't it? The way I can digest it, he says. Explain it to me in a way that I can digest it. And Naya Naipunehi means that you're just like when expert cooks, when they cook food, we say them that we say, oh, his hands has got that right naipunyam. Naipunyam means that expertise in his hands. That whatever he cooks will come out very good. So in that sense, he says. So here you can see, naya naipunehi, he says. Krishna is saying this, isn't it? And then he says, the very next verse, Uddhava is saying, tattvato jnanam hi jivanam pramoshastetra shaktida. Tomayavam Alma Mayaya Gadim Vetha na Chapara. Tutto Jnanam ki Jivanam Pramoshastetra Shaktidaha. Tomayava Alma Mayayam Gadim Vetha na Chapara. Jivanam Tattvam Eva Jnanam Bhavadi. This I say, living entities, all Jivas, they get the knowledge from Krishna. Isn't it? When we say from Krishna, from Andaryami inside. Krishna is Andaryami inside. And they lose their knowledge due to Maya. They lose their knowledge due to Maya, which is also Krishna's energy, Maya. So both knowledge comes to someone from Krishna, and knowledge is taken away also by Krishna. When we are in Maya, we lose the knowledge, and that is Krishna's energy. So that is what it says. Jivanam tattva eva jnanam bhavadi pramoshascha te shaktida bhavadi. Both happens from that. And Atma, soul on its own, is full of knowledge. Isn't it? Full of knowledge. So Uddhava's question is, tomeva Atma mayaya gadim vetha na cha abhara. Na cha abhara. And Jiva is always going through this system. It gets knowledge, it loses the knowledge. It gets the knowledge, it loses the knowledge. All the time. And you and our Atma, ourselves, the soul, loses the knowledge means it gets covered by Maya. That's what it means. Atma never loses the knowledge. Atma is always full of knowledge. But our Atma is always getting covered by Maya and sometimes released by Maya. Uddhava is asking the question that you are never covered by Maya.
Krishna is never covered by Maya. Tomevam alpa mayayam. Alpa mayayam. Gadim vetha na chapare. Alpa mayayam. Tomevam alpa mayayam means that you are never covered. You are never covered by Maya. And you know how Maya works. Krishna knows how Maya works. So, but other jivas, because we have got the coverage, what is called avaranam, isn't it? Maya's two power. Avarana Shakti and Vikshepa Shakti. They are both Maya's powers. Avarana Shakti is the covering potency. And Vikshepa Shakti is the deluding potency. Deluding potency and covering potency. All these are meant for deep thoughts to absorb in this, to understand what it means. You can't just take it, oh, there's two potencies, deluding potency, deluding potency and covering potency, not knowing what they are. Is it not? That is why in Shastram they give you examples. Mistaking the serpent, rope for a serpent. So, the covering potency, it has covered the rope, its original form. A rope is lying there. In the night or in the, there is not enough light, you are walking, you saw the rope there, lying there. Misunderstood the rope as a snake. So, when you saw the rope, you took it as a snake. So, what is that? What did that? The covering potency. It covered its original form as rope. That's one of the, what is called avarana. Avarana means that. Instead, okay, if you have not seen it as a rope, doesn't matter. You saw that, accepted it as a snake. That is the vikshepa. That is the deluding potency. Both these things are work of Maya, which it is through the mind. The mind does it, but who does that in the mind? Maya does that. So you can see how things work, isn't it? So similarly, a lot of experiences in life you can see, you thought about it something. Sometimes people say, gossip about others, isn't it? And you hear that, and then you think about that person bad, about somebody, something bad was spoken. And you heard about, you because you heard from somebody else, you accepted that. And when you saw that person later about whom it was spoken, these thoughts were inside, in you. And naturally your reaction will be based on that, is it not? So, when that happens, you have to take it that even though nobody has, he hasn't done anything to you, still initially you misunderstood about that person. Later on you realized it was a wrong information what was spoken about him. The gossip was, it was because he heard from somebody else. That's how gossip grows, isn't it? Gossip develops in this way. So therefore, so many times this experience you get in life, in different situations, in the office or the workplace and in your social life and family life, everywhere these things happen. So what is point is, only one who is never false in Maya, he alone is never covered by these two potencies. Which one? Avaranam and Vikshepam. Covering potency and the deluding potency. Krishna is never covered by the covering potency. Krishna is never deluded by the deluding potency. We are always covered, we are always deluded. Is it not? This is only an example, this rope snake business. It's only an example to make it clear to us that there are so many other examples also used there for this purpose. So, he says here, who else knows about Maya except you? Uddhava is asking Krishna. And then he says, only one who has come out of Maya can know, see the things properly. Otherwise he won't know that, he says. So you are traveling in a river, for example, and the river is flowing, and the river has got a lot of bends and turns and everything in there. But the boat will go according to the flow of water, isn't it? The swing. The boats will swing according to the way the water is flowing. So, but you are in the river, in the boat, you won't know it very well. all you are seeing is you are going in the boat, and the boat is going along with the river, river's flow. But someone who is standing outside on top of a hill and is looking at the river, he can see how the river flow is changing according to the, when the way it keeps flowing, isn't it? So similarly, only one who is standing outside, he sees all the bends and the round turns and everything. Similarly, this point Krishna is saying, Uddhava is saying here, we are all inside this Maya, living our life. And living this life inside this Maya, how we will know about the truth? This is Uddhava's question. How we will know the truth? Uddhava is a very genuine question, isn't it? Our problem is also like that. That is why our difficulty is all about. We are all hearing Bhagavatam, we are all reading Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and all that. But because we are so stuck inside this Maya, Maya won't let us go easily. That's why as soon as you walk out of the door, everything is gone. She says, you can have it for a couple of hours, everything. After that, when you leave, put it back into the box and then you exit from there. And we are very comfortable. As soon as you get out from here, all your haram begins. All your haram begins. And everything that was discussed and spoken about in the morning, gone. Straight away. Why? She doesn't allow. That is what Uddhava is saying. We are stuck in this life, in this body, and in this Maya. And how am I supposed to come out of this? That's what Uddhava's question is. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, the same question comes from Arjuna also. There you will see. If you look into the 15th chapter, if you look, you will see there. There is a verse there. We'll discuss that chapter in detail later. But there, he is saying here, Narupam asyeha tadeo tato balabhyade, verse 3, 15:3. Narupam asyeha tato balabhyade, nandonna chadir najasam pravishtam, ashwathamenam savirudhamulam, asanga sastrena dradena chitva. That verse. This is what Uddhava is talking about. Arjuna had exactly the same problem. He says here, Narupam asyeha tato balabhyade, nandonna chadir najasam pravishtam, ashwathamenam savirudhamulam, asanga sastrena dradena chitva. This is talking about that tree. You remember a tree standing upside down? We all read about that tree, haven't we? What did we understand about that tree? Krishna is talking about the tree. People read Bhagavad Gita and they say, Krishna is talking about some tree. I've never seen that tree, he says. And Krishna says, only difference is that tree is standing upside down. And that's enough. Confusion starts from there itself. So here, Krishna is saying this and same thing Krishna is saying. Real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, and where its foundation is. But with determination, one must cut down this tree with the weapon of detachment. So doing, one must seek that place from which, having once gone, never one returns, and there surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything has begun and whom in whom everything is abiding since time immemorial. So this is about that tree. That is exactly Uddhava's question also. I am stuck in this condition and I cannot come out of this. Narupam asyeha tato balabhyade. Narupam asyeha tato balabhyade. Nanto nachadir najasam pravishta. Ashwathamenam savirudhamulam. Suvirudhamulam. Asanga sastrena dridena chitva. So the format, of that ajnanam, avidya, in us, is what Krishna has spoken there. You won't get any clue here. This is the situation in this world. It's very difficult. That you may struggle very hard, but you won't get a clue how to escape from this mess. See how Krishna has, Maya has put us in. She has put us so in a such a way that you can try very hard, but you can't get out from here. And she is so capable that she knows when to give you the knowledge, when to take it out of you, so that you will continue with the struggle here. Such a way she engages us, isn't it? With your best effort, you see how Maya comes in different forms, she will take control of us, isn't it? In the form of prarabdha karma. That's her control. She decides, this much prarabdham is left, you have come here with all this prarabdham, so therefore go through this first, and then you can hear Bhagavatam. It will indirectly tell you that. That's what it is saying to us. Or indirectly, it will keep you out of Bhagavatam and make you absorb in so many other things in this world that you will find it very difficult to take to Bhagavatam. Some problem or the other will come, either health or at work or in the family or something will come. Something will come and stop it for not having it. And then time will go and you will go in that. It is finished. So here we won't get to know what it is. And Maya's ways of doing things is either through prarabdham or through other vasanas. It can happen in some different ways. It will create difficulty for us. So therefore, Narupa Masiha Tatoba Labhyade Namto Na Chadir Naja Sampravisha. So Krishna is saying you won't know how Maya controls you. That also you won't know. And then if our Maya has allowed you to hear Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, he may have also got a good bit of it inside. It won't let you keep it. It will take it out from you. She will take it out of you. And then you will go and do something wrong and then you will regret about it. Why did I do this? I knew that it was wrong to do it. You go and do it. That also she does. In other words, Maya has such a total control on everything, what we have got, what we are, this body on this mind and everything, that you just feel helpless about it, isn't it? Maya's unusual power, that is what. And that's what he's saying here. So you won't even know, because it is controlled so tight, she's running a very tight ship, as they say. You can't come out of it. It's so tight the ship is running. And you won't get any clue how to escape from this. Don't you see this in life of everybody in this world? Everyone in this world, they come to this world, they have a lot of agenda to work hard, earn money, and have a good life, this, that and everything. And finally they lose everything and the body becomes a big burden and crying, we leave this world and go. Is that not enough proof of the control of the Maya's control? What else proof do you want more than this? And that applies to American president and right up to the man in the street. She has no concession anywhere there to anybody. No matter who it is, you may be holding the highest position in this world. You may be the wealthiest man in the world. You may have billions and billions. Fortune 500, you may be the top of the list. That maybe, you may be, but doesn't matter. That person also will leave this world crying. Isn't it? So, this is what Krishna is saying here. Uddhava is asking this question. Narupa, and Krishna is saying, Narupa Masiha Tatoba Labhyade. That Maya is capable of doing this to everyone. And Nandarna Rupam Naja Sampravishtaha. There is no way Arjuna, he says here, you don't even know how it operates, how Maya is controlling us. Because you can do something if you know how she does it, isn't it? But even that she doesn't reveal to us, how she controls us. Nantar na chadir na cha sampravishta. Because she has left it in that way, everything. So, if it is like that, then it is impossible for anyone to know how to free himself from this. Then how to get it? Who will get it? He says here, one who has gone out of it, out of Maya, he can know how to. He will have some idea of how to free himself from this. So they know, those who have come out of Maya, they know the history, how we've fallen into Maya, how you get released from Maya, and what's going to happen. They'll have an idea about all these things. Therefore, Uddhava is saying to Krishna, because you are not inside this Maya, you know how it works. This is how Uddhava puts it. You see the 28th verse, Tvatvo, that is what verse is saying. Tvatvo jnanam hi jivanam pramoshaste atra shaktitaha tomeva alpa mayaya gadim vetha na cha apara. Because you are not in the Maya, you are outside Maya, and that knowledge is coming from you, you know what has to be done about it. Vacho jnanam pramoshaham. And you also know the destiny of all the living entities, isn't it? At that time, see how Krishna answers that. Shri Bhagavan Vacha, 29 verse. Prakriti purushaschedi vikalpa purusharshava esham vaikarikam sargo gunam vidikaralmaka. First Krishna says, there is prakriti and there is purusha. First thing, there is purusha and there is prakriti. And this body, what we call as the body means, includes everything. Body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, all grouped together. Sharira sankhara. That is all. So he says here, esha sarga vaikarigaha gunam vyadigaralmagaha. That means due to the unbalanced state in the modes of nature, this package has come, which is called this body, and it has its own modes of nature. That means when a material body comes into existence, the three modes of material nature is there in that body, and it's also based on the three modes of material nature, the body takes its form, shape, and its qualities, its intelligence, its mind, everything is grouped together around the modes of nature. That's what Krishna is saying like that. So, so there he is saying that this, first Krishna says, this prakriti purusha vivechanam, that knowledge itself has come from ignorance. You see? Just see how difficult it is to understand these things. That prakriti purusha vivechanam, Uddhava spoke like that, isn't it? That prakriti and purusha he has spoken. And he told, Uddhava says to Krishna, you have come out of prakriti, you are separately standing outside, and all the knowledge comes from you. And prakriti keeps you in darkness, and prakriti releases you, you have the knowledge. That is the way Uddhava has spoken. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, this thing called prakriti, purusha, two things, that itself is ignorance. First thing. That's the way Krishna answers that. All these things, we can talk about it, but till that realization happens, this has not much of a realization in that sense. That's more important, that realization of what Krishna is saying. That's why Ekadasha Skandam, you have to read, read and read all the time and get into this understanding of what Krishna has spoken there. That's the only way it will get in, otherwise it won't get in. People read, some people, they only want to hear Ekadasha Skandam because this is knowledge in the Bhagavatam. So, he says here, this description, purusha and prakriti itself, that difference has come from ignorance first. That itself is a vigalpam, he says. Itself is a vigalpam. Because you started feeling that there are two things existing. Uddhava said to Krishna, two things are existing, isn't it? And that itself is vigalpam, Uddhava. Two things are not existing, only one thing is existing. This is Krishna's point. And so this vailakshanyam, differences, that is what we call it as sargam, srishti, all this, creation. Creation has happened because you have divided like these two. Therefore creation came. You understand that subtlety of that? That means that when did we feel of this world creation? Where did we experience this creation? In us, isn't it? Inside us. When you have left when I have left my identity as the self and I gone away, the second thing has come, creation. As far as Krishna is concerned, creation doesn't exist in Krishna's state. That is why he had no problem in the Mahabharata war, in Dasa dance and all that. All these things don't exist for Krishna. For us, all this is very important, this world, what goes on here, and we want to find the reasoning logic behind everything. For Krishna, none of them matters. So he says to Uddhava, Uddhava, first of all you started feeling there are two things, isn't it? Purusha and Prakriti. And that itself is a vikalpam, come from ajnanam or avidya or from ignorance, it has come. So when you started feeling that you are one, there's not one, there is two, immediately creation has come, Prakriti has come, and sargam, srishti has happened. Srishti has happened at that time. Gunam vedigaral manaha. And who creates that difference is gunam, three modes of material nature. And Krishna will say all these things, finally Krishna will reject all these things, just like before. So, he'll say everything and finally he will reject all these things, whatever he's going to say. So if you look at the next verse, you will see. And body is concerned, he's talking about. Mamangamayam gunamayane katha vigalpa buddhischa guner vidhate vaigariga trivido almam ekam atadi devam adibhudamanyat. That is the first one. Krishna is saying, Mamangamaya gunamayane katha vigalpa buddhischa guner vidhate vaigariga trivido. Trivido Tatmamekam Adhadi Adhatmamekam Adhadi Devam Adibhudam Anyat. Adibhudam Anyat, he says. So Krishna says, this Maya has got these three modes, isn't it? Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. And based on that, it creates three different kinds of intelligence among us. And that variation or variegatedness, nanatvam it is called, it creates due to these three modes. Three modes, when it enters into a person, it creates three kinds of intelligence in us, in a person. Sattvam rajastama ide unam buddher na chalpana. It's in the buddhi, not in the atma, in the buddhi it gets. 13th chapter. So when it enters the buddhi, our buddhi changes, isn't it? When the modes of nature enters the buddhi, what will happen? Our intelligence changes. That's why we will get, one person will say one way, another person will say another way about the same thing. Two different conclusions will come about from that. So that leads into what they call it as adhyatmam, adibhudam, adidevam. Three things. Vaigarika trivitho adhyatmam ekam adhadidevam adibhudam anyat. This adhyatmam, adibhudam, adidevam. Do you remember this? We discussed in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna discusses what is adhyatmam. Kim adhyatmam, kim adibhudam, kim adhidevam? Arjuna asked the question. This adhyatmam, adibhudam, adhidevam, this is all in the creation. This is all in the creation. I'll come to that later. So, he says here, in the next 2-3 verses, Krishna has spoken a few things. Let's read through those verses. You will see. Drigrubam arkam vapuratra rantre parasparam siddhyati yasvathakhe almo yadesha aparoya adhyam swayanubhutya akhila siddha siddhihi evam togadi shravanadi chakshu jihvadi nasadija chitta yuktam യോസൌ ഗുണക്ഷോഭവികൃതോ വികാരഃ പ്രധാനമൂലാൻ മഹത പ്രസൂതഃ അഹം ത്രിവൃന്മോഹവികൽപഹേതു വൈകാരികം താമസം ഐന്ദ്രിയശ്ച ആത്മാ പരിജ്ഞാനമയോ വിവാദം അസ്തീതി നാസ്തീതി വിധാർത്ഥനിഷ്ഠ വ്യർത്ഥോപി നൈവോ പരമേത പുംസാം മത്ത പരാവൃത്തധിയാം സ്വലോകാത്. Those three verses. That means, due to three modes of material nature, Krishna is saying adhyalmam, adhibhudam, adhidevam. In three forms it manifests in this world. And those three, adhyalmam, adhibhudam, adhidevam, develops into in these three verses what Krishna has just spoken. So many things Krishna has spoken there. One thing is, he says, Prakriti and Purusha has a big difference, he's saying. First thing, Prakriti and Purusha has a big difference. That's the first point Krishna is making there. Prakriti and Purusha has a big difference. Mainly because Purusha is always one. Atma is one. Bodham, awareness, consciousness is one. Prakriti is always changing. Consciousness doesn't change. That's the first thing he is pointing out. Krishna is pointing out. Consciousness never changes. Prakriti is continuously changing. That's why we find different forms in the Prakriti due to the parinama or transformation that is taking place. And these three modes of material nature, he belongs to Prakriti. Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa. Three modes of nature belongs to Prakriti. And when they combine together, creation happens and it comes in different forms in the creation. So this Prakriti, which has got these three modes of nature, it develops into, through Sattvagunam, it becomes Adhidevam. Through Rajogunam, it is called Adhyatmam. And through Tamogunam, it is Adhibhudam. So Adhyatmam, Adhibhudam, Adhidevam is created by these three modes of material nature. That Sattvagunam makes it Adhidevam, Rajogunam makes it Adhyatmam, and Tamogunam makes it Adhibhudam. Adhibhudam, that means it creates this difference, Bhedam. Differences are created by the three modes of material nature. So what is Adhyatmam, Adhibhudam, Adhidevam means? So all the senses are called Adhyatmam. Senses are called Adhyatmam. And the predominating deities of the senses, they are called Adhidevam. They are called Adhidevam. And the sense objects are called Adhibhudam. Because you can see that these are the three important things. Adhyatmam, Adhibhudam, Adhidevam. Senses, the predominating deities of the senses, and the sense objects. Sense objects are the Adhibhudam. Because they are made of the five material elements, isn't it? All the sense objects are material elements. So that is where, that means sound, touch, form, smell and taste. These five sense objects, they are the tanmatra. Tanmatra means they are the subtle aspect of the gross sense enjoyment is these five. Subtle aspect of the gross sense enjoyment is these five things. Shabdam, sound, touch, smell, taste and sound, form, touch, smell and taste. The five senses and the five subtle elements. They are called Adhibhudam because they are based on the material elements. Then all senses function due to the deity presence there. They are the demigods who are present in our body. You will know in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita also some places it explains there that the predominating deity of the eye is the sun. The predominating deity of the intelligence is Brahma, Lord Brahma. Like this, there are predominating deities throughout our body in all the senses, in all the senses, they have their predominating deities. They are called Adibhutam. Sorry, Adidevam. Adidevam. Adibhutam is the sense objects. Adidevam is the predominating deities of the different senses. And then there are senses in the body, isn't it? The five different senses. And they are called Adhyalpam. They are called Adhyalpam. So is that clear? The difference between Adhyalpam, Adibhutam, Adidevam. So what has happened is, when the three modes of material nature enters into our intelligence, it creates this variegatedness in the senses, sense objects, and these various predominating deities occupy the different senses. They are separated. They are separated. Separated means what will happen is that so sattvam, rajas, and tamas, adhyalpam, adibodham, adidevam, it creates these differences in the in us. It creates this difference in us. What Krishna is pointing out is we have five senses, isn't it? Some others have got only three senses. Others have got only, some people have got only one sense. Some living beings have got only one sense. And this breaking up of these senses into 1, 3, 5, 4 and all that is caused by the modes of nature. Modes of nature. In a very subtle level it is happening. That's why we can't show this to someone. So, in everything, this variation that has happened. This variation, what has happened, Krishna is saying that adhyalpam, adibhutam, adidevam, and then adibhutam has got these five variations, shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. Accordingly, these five variations has five predominating deities of the senses. Equally, these five different senses itself, this breakup has happened, Krishna is saying, due to the three modes of material nature. Due to three modes of material nature. These three modes, what it does is, it breaks our sense enjoyment power into five departments. It brings the five predominating deities corresponding to these five sense enjoyment. And this variation in the five senses. Actually, strictly speaking, that one power is the same power that's operating through all the five senses. You have to remember that. Now, generally, we think that eye has got one type of power, ear has got another type of power, nose has got one type of power, all different types of power, we say. Isn't it? That is not true. That's what Krishna is saying. Power that comes through every sense is one. One power. But when it comes through that particular sense, indriyam, when one particular sense reflects that power inside, through that sense, it becomes one form of power, sense enjoyment. One form of sense enjoyment. It becomes one form of sense enjoyment. Just like when you see an object, you say, oh, it's nice to see that. It's a very beautiful form. You make a comment like that because your eyes have seen and eyes have enjoyed that form, eyes have reported back to the mind and you have experienced that in the mind, isn't it? But the power that which gave that sense to see that form and to make that report to the mind, and the power and another sense, for example, the ear has heard a sound, a beautiful sound, and you heard it and you reported it back to the mind and the mind enjoyed that. So the mind is enjoying all different kinds of sensual activities. Eyes, ears, nose, taste, touch. All these different sensual activities is experienced where? In the mind. In the mind. But the force that gave this mind to experience this and the senses able to report it back to the mind after experiencing the sense objects, that force is one. They are not five. There's only one. That's the point Krishna's making there. That one force has gone and done this five different kinds of sensual enjoyment. Sensual enjoyment. That is what Krishna is saying here, that these variations in the sense enjoyment, if you realize it that it is coming from the self, then you can escape from this variation of Prakriti and Purusha, Krishna is saying. When in Sankhyam, when they decide that there is two, Prakriti and Purusha, isn't it? And Krishna is saying there is no Prakriti and Purusha, there is only Atma. Purusha is Atma. Purusha is Atma. Only Purusha exists. But how do you get to that understanding? That's what Krishna is saying here. That if you have realized this, that all these variations created by the modes of nature in us, in our intelligence, which has caused this diversity in the sense enjoyment, in the form of sound, touch, smell, taste and form. And when that is happening, which is Krishna addresses here as Adidevam, and that same variation which is caused by the modes of nature, by creating Adhyalpam, Adibhutam, Adidevam, because only with the help of these three you can enjoy senses. Which one? Adhyalpam, Adibhutam, Adidevam. You require the senses, you require the predominating sanction of the predominating deity of that sense. Only then you can enjoy that, isn't it, sense? For example, sometimes when someone has become born blind or born with, what do they call it, the capacity not to speak, able to speak, dumb, yeah. All these things happen. Why is it happening? Because you have upset that predominating deity in earlier life sometimes, done something which was against the law, and that comes out, that dominating deity withdraw from your sense. Therefore, that particular sense doesn't function. This is the reason. There's a reason for that. So therefore, Krishna's point is here that these five senses, in order for them to operate, you require their predominating deity sanction from that. Krishna has given that responsibility to them. And similarly, the five sense objects what exists also, when our senses comes into contact with the sense objects, with the approval of these five predominating deities, you experience the happiness. That's how you experience the happiness. This is the understanding from the Shastram. When our senses comes into contact with the sense objects, only when the predominating deities of those senses gives the approval, you will experience the happiness in your mind of that sense enjoyment. Just like, suppose we were served a gulab jamun for the feast, and the tongue has tasted it, and we are saying, oh, it was wonderful, very well done. Gulab jamun was fantastic, we say. Ate a lot, you got sick at the end. Krishna is saying there that you've gone eaten so much that you upset the predominating deity. So the predominating deity says, that's enough now. You had enough of it. So every sense enjoyment is restricted by the predominating deity of the particular sense. In every kind of sense enjoyment, it is like that. So this relationship we have to know. Which one? This is all theoretical at the moment. This is all very theoretical. But the truth is, Krishna is saying, these variations has come, Adhyalpam, Adibhutam, Adidevam, and in that variation has happened, and due to, and because this variation is due to the result of becoming, seeing these things as two, Purusha and Prakriti. And this will go when you realize it through self-realization, that Atma, who is behind everything, it is through Atma
that this differences has been created and I am beyond these differences of Prakriti and Purusha, and then I can transcend it, Krishna says. You can transcend it. You can then transcend it. It is all talking about person who has gone beyond the body, mind and all that. It is only in them these things you will see. You will see these things in them who have gone beyond the body, very, very realized persons. You will see them in all these things you will see in them. If you give them prasadam, various things together, you give them, you served in a plate or leaf, rice, dal, sabji, chapati, ghee, and all sweets and everything. And normally what would you do? You will expect that you will, according to your taste, you will mix or not mix it, eat separately, or you will have priority in eating. Some people like to eat what is not very tasty first, and then they will say, we kept it for the final, finishing the feast. Like that, isn't it? But there are people, I'm talking about persons who have gone beyond all these things, who have gone beyond these sensual activities, they'll mix the whole thing together and eat it. And you will wonder, what taste is he getting from that? When you eat the food like prasadam like that, bitter ones, sweet ones, and all the five different kinds of taste, what we talk about, isn't it? Sorry, four kinds. Chaturvidha, Shri Bhagavad Prasadam becomes one for them. Why? Because this Adhyalpam, Adhibhudam, Adhidevam, three modes of nature has already left. They know this rasam, what we are experiencing now in prasadam, when you realize the self, it will go. So you have to be careful also. Chaturvidha Shri Bhagavad Prasadam Sadhvanya Truttan Hari Bhakta Sangan. When you are in the Hari Bhakti, in the association, you can enjoy the feast. But when you cross beyond all these things, that you have gone beyond, because Krishna is saying, this is the problem. This old Ekadasa Skandam is talking from a deeper level, much deeper level, where senses, you bypass the senses, sense objects, and the predominant deities, senses are not there anymore in you. Practically, operation of the senses have also become irrelevant for us. So, that is why he mentions like this, that Prakriti Purusha Bhedam, that difference between Prakriti and Purusha, leaves him at that time, at that stage. Prakriti and Purusha have leaves him at that time. And Krishna is also saying here, some people argue that this world is true. Some people argue this world is not true, real. Some people say it's real, isn't it? Some people say it's not real. Krishna is saying, even that argument will go, whether it's real or not real. Whether it's real or not real. As spoken, it is like this, that there is a verse there about this. Satyam Rishava Satyam Rishava Chididam Jadamva Dukham Sukham Vedi Mutha Vivada Adrishta Loka Niraham Pratiti Nishta Avikalpa Paramakhileshta. This is Ravana Maharshi's verse. One verse he spoke about that in a transcendental state what happens in a person. Satyam Radava Chididam Jadamva Dukham Sukham Vedi Mutha Vivada Adrishta Loka Niraham Pratidi Nishta Vikalpa Paramakhileshta. He is saying like that. He says here that people are arguing whether the world is true or not true. This argument is going on also. And he says here, whether this world is chit or jadam. Is it a dead matter or there is life in that? And they will ask all these arguments. They will argue like this. And when you have realized the truth, when self-realization has happened, what will happen at that stage is, the world or the person who is seeing the world, up to that point it was existing like that, isn't it? The world was existing and there was a person who was seeing the world, and you can't find him at that stage. Both doesn't exist. When your ego completely gets dissolved,
when your ego completely gets dissolved, the world doesn't exist, nor the person who is seeing the world exist. Both gets gone. World is gone, and the person who is seeing the world is also gone. When the ego gets dissolved, is that not what you see in Sushupti? In the deep sleep state, that's what happens. The world is gone, and the person who is experiencing the world is also gone. Also gone. And it is the same thing what is in the Sushupti, what you experience in self-realization also. And therefore, because it is like that, rishis are saying that this argument about the existence of the world, whether it's real or not, all this is invalid. All this is invalid. Similarly, this difference between Purusha and Prakriti also disappears in the deep sleep. Is it not? Purusha Prakriti, when we discuss about Purusha and Prakriti, that difference only exists in the vacant state, Purusha and Prakriti. In the deep sleep state, even that disappears. That is why, you see how Krishna has given importance to deep sleep. It is based on that deep sleep principle, Krishna has spoken that first verse in the 28th chapter. Parasvabhava karmani, ya prashamsadi ya nindadi, sa ashubhrashade swarthal, asatyam abhiniveshada. For Krishna, that experience of the deep sleep state is the benchmark. It's beginning from there. There is nothing exist, only Atma exists, isn't it? In the deep sleep, Atma exists. But in the deep sleep, Atma exists in the form of bliss. That's what we come out and report. I had a good time. But we have never given any attention to that deep sleep. All our attention is on this vacant state, busy with the vacant state, the vyavaharam in the vacant state, and all the rubbish what we do in the vacant state, and we want to become spiritual. How that will happen? Whereas everything what Krishna is talking about, as far as knowledge is concerned in the Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam, is all based on these three states of existence. Vacant state, dream state, deep sleep. And Krishna is saying and bringing and tying down to deep sleep, he's saying that in the deep sleep there is no Purusha Prakriti. In the Samadhi state, realized state also, there is no Purusha Prakriti. So on intellectual level, you will say, yes, there is Purusha, there is Prakriti. Sankhya philosophy, isn't it? But what caused that to happen? Your ego has completely disappeared in the deep sleep state. And that is the reason, because last thing that dissolves in the deep sleep is ego. First you lose your body, isn't it? In the waking state, you have body. When you go to dream state, what happens? Body gone. When you lose in the dream state, the mind is there. And the ego is there. I am there. When you come out of the dream state and go into deep sleep, what happens? Mind is gone. Is it not? Mind is gone. When you are in the deep sleep, then what happens? Ego also goes. I am. That it dissolves there. Ego goes there, isn't it? Ego goes, but self hasn't gone. Atma hasn't gone. It is that Atma who is covered by the tamogunam in the deep sleep that stops us from realizing the truth. When you wake up, come back to the vacant state again, what happens? You immediately talk about that good time you had in the deep sleep. No matter how much you glorify good deep sleep, it's not enough. When you are completely disgusted in life, what's the best solution? To have good sleep, isn't it? You don't want anything else. What do? When suppose something has gone wrong, everything gone wrong in life, lot of problems have come from all sides. Boss has given you hell in the office. There is trouble at home, husband or wife, whatever it is, there's some problem. Children are giving you trouble. You have not paid any invoices, there's no money in the bank. There is trouble there also. Altogether, it has become, you're completely, totally fed up with everything. What will you do? You'll go and lie down in the bed, cover yourself with the quilt, and go for a good sleep. That's what you want at that time. You don't want anything to do with this world. You get so fed up, disgusted with everything. So you can see, when great distress comes, what are we looking for? We want to get rid of our connection with the world, isn't it? Through the body, through the mind, through the intelligence, through the ego. All wants to break the connection and go back to our swarupam, our real identity, which is that what we experience in the deep sleep. So that is what it is mentioned here, that sushupti is the state we love more than anything else, than the waking state or the dream state here. So, so all the realized souls also, what they are saying is, I don't see the world in the deep sleep. I don't see the body in the deep sleep. I don't see the mind in the deep sleep. I don't see the intelligence in the deep sleep. I don't see the ego in the deep sleep. Therefore, none of them really exist. None of them really exist. That is why, you remember I mentioned before, as far as Krishna is concerned, the world doesn't exist. As far as Krishna is concerned, this body doesn't exist. For us it exists, but for Krishna it doesn't exist. Because from that level, when you look at it, this is how it is perceived. This is how it is perceived. So therefore, Krishna says, the important thing is to realize the self. Again, Krishna coming back to the underlying principle of all these things. Krishna says, these are all arguments in this world, but alma parijnanamayo vivado asti asti di nasti di vidhartha nishtaha vyartho binaivo varameda pumsam matta paravrtha dhyam sulokad. The 33rd verse, Krishna is saying like that. Alma parijnanamayo vivadam. Instead of developing the knowledge of the self, vivadam, argument. Astiti nastiti vidhartha nishtaha. It exists, it doesn't exist. Argument about it. Vyarthovi, that's all a waste of time, Krishna says. Naivam ubarameda pumsam. Instead of absorbing in the Atma and experiencing the self, matta paravartadhyam swalokad, we get intoxicated with our stupid knowledge and gets absorbed in the world. Absorbed in the world. Says here, Atma parijnanamayam bhavati. Atma, by very nature itself, is full of knowledge. It's full of knowledge. That is the nature of Atma. Everything else is ignorance. Only Atma has knowledge. Nobody else has knowledge. Atma has knowledge. Remember, I mentioned this before also. You can look at mind, for example. Mind can discuss about everything else in this world, isn't it? Mind cannot discuss about the mind, can you? You look at your own mind. You ask your own mind, tell me about yourself. Will the mind answer? Mind won't say anything. Mind will keep quiet. Mind will bring every other rubbish in this world, mind will bring it inside. And it will discuss with you, it will tell you about other problems in this world or about every other object in this world. Other people, mind will talk about it, about other objects mind will talk about. Mind cannot talk about itself. Right opposite is the Atma, exactly opposite. Atma, because it is full of knowledge, its knowledge is perfect and it's always in knowledge. It's always in knowledge. That is why it says, Atma parijnanamayam bhavati. Parijnanamayam bhavati means it has got, it's always in knowledge and it's always emitting knowledge. Knowledge is always coming from the self. Knowledge is always flowing from the self. You don't have to do anything for that because it is full of knowledge of the self. And everything else is collecting knowledge, looking for knowledge. It can't get it. Mind, senses, intelligence, they are all trying to collect knowledge but doesn't get it right. This is a basic difference between self, Atma and the mind. Then, astidi nastidi vivada vidhartha nishtaha bhavati. So, it exists, it doesn't exist. This is all duality, dvaita prabhanjam. This, based on this, dvaita prabhanjam, that dvaita prabhanjam means prabhanjam, creation is full of duality. It is based on this duality that it exists, it doesn't exist. All these arguments are coming. It can never touch Atma all these arguments and everything can never touch Atma, the soul. And because moham means illusion, because of illusion, these differences, what you find in the Purusha Prakriti and differences in the Prakriti, all these things is due to illusion also, which is coming from Maya. And if it is that, like that, then do I have to work for it to get out of it? He says here, Svalokad mataha paravrta diyam pumsam virtobi saha naivam uparameta. In other words, that Atma is Pratyagalpa, it's called. Pratyagalpa. What does Pratyagalpa mean? Atma is always by nature inward looking. Inward looking is its nature. Atma, because Atma has self effulgent, isn't it? Effulgent in the sense that Satta Chitta Anandam, eternity, knowledge, and bliss. This is the nature of Atma. This is the nature of Atma. It doesn't have to look outside for knowledge. It doesn't have to look outside for happiness. It doesn't have to look outside for eternity. By the very existence itself, Atma has these three qualities in Atma. Which one? Satta, Chitta, Anandam. Eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So therefore, those who have their eyes on the world outside, Bahirmukhatvam, even they have managed to pull out from the world and attention has gone towards the Atma, still because there is false ego there, it will not happen. Krishna is saying like that. That means, unless you completely get rid of that false ego from inside, which is present inside in the form of jiva, ahankaram, till that completely is wiped out, this pure nature of Atma in the form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss will not manifest in someone. That is the explanation Krishna is giving there. Therefore, then, and he gives the example like this. You will see there is some interesting verses which is also spoken in other places. That is a verse again Krishna has spoken. That you will come, look into the 55th verse in that same chapter. We'll come to that later. You will see Krishna's argument, how strong that is. But it is so subtle, that's why we are not getting it. Artehi avidyamanevi. 55 verse. I think it is 55, isn't it? 56. Yeah. Okay. Artehi avidyamanevi. Samsradir na nivartade. Dhyayato vishayan asya. Sopne anarthagamo yatha. In one, two lines, Krishna has put everything. Artehi avidyamanevi. How this situation has developed? That's what Krishna is saying there. Vishayan dhyayadaha asya. Sopne anarthagamo yatha tatha. Arthe avidyamanevi samsruti na nivartate. That is what Krishna is saying. What happened is, sense objects exist. We somehow made contact with the sense objects and we start meditating on that. Meditating on the sense objects. And we got completely caught up in that. Atevi avidyamanevi. And once you're caught up in that, any sense gratification is like that, isn't it? Once you got attached to something due to constant meditation on that, dhyayado vishaya pumsan sangasteshu vijam, that you have to remember what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. After all that, you got attached to it, sangas sangal sanjayade kamam krotham, all that things Krishna says like that. So when a jiva is caught up in that situation, you have that experience in the dream state of your sense enjoyment nature. Sense enjoyment, you are experiencing in your dream state, for example. You are having a dream of all your sense enjoying plans. It has come in reality in a dream. And due to that sense enjoyment or due to whatever vasanas you have created, in your dream state, you are living through that. You are living through that. Till you wake up from that dream, that's a reality for you at that time, isn't it? That is what Krishna is saying. Samsritir na nivartate. Till you come out of it, it is real. It is real. That sense enjoyment is real. Sometimes, suppose you are having a very good dream, a very, very good dream. Say, imagine you are a king and you got everything what you were desiring in your mind, and all kinds of sense gratification are on offer, living a really, really opulent and comfortable life, and you are dreaming all these things. If somebody comes and wakes you up, you don't like it. Do you? Why you have disturbed my sleep? You will put it in a different way. You are actually dreaming, you won't tell him that. But you will tell him, why have you disturbed my sleep? And the only way you can come out of that dream is somebody has to wake you up. There is no other way, isn't it? That is what Krishna is saying. Artehi avidyamanevi samsardir na nivartate. Full of avidya, that is. What it is, what was experienced then, is avidya. And from that avidya, till somebody wakes up, till you wake up, you are not come out of it. Similarly, Krishna is saying, you are living in this world in your vacant state, enjoying your senses. Like that dream. It's another state. Dhyayado vishayanasya swapne anarthagamoyada. The difference is that till you wake up from this dream, daydreaming, in the vacant state, what we do, dhyayato vishayanasya, you are continuously meditating on the different objects of this world for enjoyment. Till you come out of this swapnam, what is what you are going through now? Anarthagamo yada, you will get all the reactions, anartham, till you wake up from this. That is what we are experiencing in life. In the form of death, old age, disease, and all other distress is because of this dream state, what we are experiencing in the vacant state. We haven't really woken up. Our vacant state is full of dream. Is it not? Our vacant state, so-called vacant state, what we say, vacant state is not all the senses are active. That is not what vacant state means. Vacant state means that in generally what we will say is vacant state. But real proper vacant state is when you have woken up from all these things. Woken up to the truth. But in the present vacant state, what is happening is we are dreaming about the happiness of this world, planning for the happiness of this world and various other things. Krishna is saying, in your dream state, till you woke up from that, the effect of the dream hasn't happened. Similarly, from the vacant states also, till you wake up from this to the truth, realization, self-realization, all the problems will also be there. That's what he's saying there. And that verse appears about 5-6 places in the Bhagavad-gita, this one particular verse, again and again to keep reminding us as though. It's there in the Purajaravakyanam, it is there in the Hamsagita also, I think, and two other three places. So, coming back to this. So, all these things, people whose attention has gone to the world, they have managed to withdraw their attention from the world, that even if your attention has fallen onto the soul, still false ego has not left. And just like, suppose you won a lottery in the dream, it's a false thing. Imagine you won a lottery. In the dream you won the lottery. But you can enjoy that lottery till you wake up. Isn't it? Once you have woken up, you'll see that you don't have the money to enjoy. Krishna is saying in the same way that till you wake up, everything in the dream state, you can enjoy or suffer according to the dream state. Or suppose you are suffering, an elephant has come to jumped on top of you, is coming to attack you.
Now you will cry in the dream state because of the elephant is coming to pounce upon you. But the moment somebody comes and wakes you up from that dream, you have come out of the dream, isn't it? You come out of the dream and you come out of the problem also. You come out of the problem because there is no elephant and there is nobody trying to hit. So in the same way, in this vacant state also Krishna is comparing to that dream state and saying to us, you got so many plans, so many enjoying things to do, and all that's fine. And because you are enjoying your dream like this, vacant, so-called vacant state, you have to suffer also in the same way. But this suffering will only stop when you wake up from this dream of the day, daydreaming. That is the point Krishna is making here. So when Uddhava, Krishna said all these things, Uddhava answers that. Uddhava's reply at that time. One point Krishna, Uddhava is saying to, Uddhava is saying to Krishna that that I agree, Uddhava says, that you have to experience the self. Experience the self. That is more important than anything else. Uddhava agrees with that. And says to him that, how is that these people who have no bhakti, no devotion, they have to come here to experience the result of their karma, karma phala, isn't it? And they have to accept different bodies for that. Different bodies for that they have to accept. Uddhava is saying to Krishna. Uddhava is saying that, that we understand, Uddhava says that I have to realize the self. But those who don't have any bhakti and who haven't got this knowledge of the self, they have got their karma phalam, isn't it? They are engaged in karma. And the result of the karma is there. They have to suffer through that result of their karma. In order to go through the karma, they have to accept different body, isn't it? Depending on the karma phalam. It is based on the results of the karma body is created. Not the body is created and the results comes later. It's not like that. It's the other way. As I mentioned before, from the mind comes the body, isn't it? So all the results of the karma is stacked up in the mind. And then the decision is taken to suit that results of the karma, a body is created, centered around that mind. Centered around the mind. So Uddhava is asking this question, that those who haven't gone into the spiritual life, or normal people, who simply work in this world and live, enjoy and all that, what happens to them, he says there, how do they change this body? That question came up. How do they change this body? So that is what Uddhava is asking there, that how this transmigration of the soul happens. That was Uddhava's question at that point. That is that question. I think we'll have a kirtan for a few minutes. Then after 15-20 minutes we'll have... I'm a bit tired. Yeah. So, can you start kirtan? Yeah. Till 11:30. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, all glory to Srila Prabhupada.